Bus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The fight is locked in long-term in Cleveland. Donovan Mitchell has agreed to a four-year, $273 million max extension with the Cavaliers, including a player option for the 2030 season and a full trade kicker. He ranks ninth in the NBA in points per game in his four seasons since joining the Cavs. Also from the association, ESPN reporter Knicks star Jalen Brunson is undergoing left wrist surgery and is expected to return to basketball activities later this summer, while six-time All-Star Kyle Lowry sent a one-day contract to retire as a Raptor after 20 seasons. World Cup round of 16, Team USA's run came to an end with a 4-1 loss to Belgium, which battles Spain in the quarterfinal Friday at 3. Final two tickets to the quarters will be punched today with Argentina and Egypt at noon, then Switzerland and Colombia at 4. Baseball, Reds host the Phillies at 7:10 tonight, while the Guardians visit the Twins at 7:40. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And here we go. Welcome back in to another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice. In the building again today is the former Buckeye and National Champ, the one and only Joshua Perry, JP. Happy Tuesday, brother. How you feeling today, my man?
Feeling pretty good.
Good.
Got to be elevated today.
Yeah, you're doing the whole standing up thing, which triggers me over here because now I feel like I need to be standing up.
Just trying to burn a couple more calories.
You sent me a picture yesterday of your backyard, which was well done.
Thank you.
Well done. You completed the mission, and apparently you used, you know, that time to shed some LBs, too.
I tried to.
What'd you do?
So I was telling you yesterday during the show, last week, heat wave, I'm like, there's no way in hell that I'm going to be out there in the yard cutting any grass. Well, grass was a little bit high, so I'm like, I got to get it done early this week. You're like, you should go and do it as soon as the show is over.
Get it done.
I'm like, all right. So the way I like to do it, and it's for multiple reasons, but it helps with the trying to lose a little bit of weight. It's like, you know, the wrestler's cutting weight. Yeah. But I like to do the full sweatsuit. I do it for the sun protection, keep the sun off of my skin. But also, you saw we've got trees in the back, so you get critters and creatures, and ticks are out this year. Uh-huh. I don't want to get bit, so I tuck the sweatpants into the socks, and then I got the whole sweatsuit on, nice thick layer there. Mm-hmm. I was sweating.
You're talking to the right guy for this, because I tell AR all the time, when I go into the sauna on certain days, I wear a hoodie in there as well. Like, if I feel like, you know what, I got a little crazy with the snacking over the weekend, there will be a hoodie on. So I completely understand your thinking.
You gotta put a spin bike in there too, in the sauna.
I really get to it.
Yeah, that's how people end up
passing out in there. Yeah, passing out in the sauna. Rhyme Time's on the board today for TLC. What's up, Rhyme Time? You feeling?
Hey, I'm doing great. Love Island was okay last night, but hey, we got through it.
Okay was the appropriate word.
Yes.
Last night's episode was a little bit of filler.
What happened? Because my mom and my wife were watching together. I was in the bed watching Proud Family by that time.
Which is a classic, classic cartoon, by the way. That used to appear on Disney Channel, I believe. Rhyme Time, did you ever tap into that show?
No, I did not.
Have you ever heard of that before he just mentioned it?
I think so, yes.
Okay. I think they got a few seasons in on the Disney Channel.
They did a
which
reboot.
Which is phenomenal. Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I haven't watched that one yet, but they brought it back.
So right now they're making new episodes of The Proud Family.
I don't know if they are right now, but a few years ago they were.
Which can always get dicey when you kind of spin the block on that. I always get a little weary about that. More so with movies than TV shows.
I'm going to check it out. I'll give you a review.
Okay, tap in on that. But last night on Love Island, it was filler. This is, the finish line is at the end of the week. We had the girls up to some sneaky task, and there was just a whole bunch of nothing last night. But here I am, and I will be on the couch at 9 o'clock again tonight watching the latest episode of Love Island. We got a fun show lined up for you guys today. Bottom of this hour, the great Jim Lachey will stop by. We'll talk all things Buckeye football with him. 1:30, it's a Tuesday, so you know Tyvus Powell. He will stop by. We'll talk Browns, Buckeyes, and whatever else pops up in our brains as well. We have a prize to give away for you guys today. Winner is going to receive a family four-pack of tickets to the Good Guys 28th Summit Racing Nationals, July 10th through the 12th at the Ohio Expo Center. Check out over 6,000 of the country's coolest hot rods, muscle cars, trick trucks, customs, and more. Passes are good for one day. Get details, vehicle registration, and ticket info at goodguys.com. So we're going to give away a family four-pack of tickets today to the Good Guys 28th Summit Racing National. So stick with us. We like to drop them like it's hot whenever we want to. So you never know when that's going to happen. So that will be fun. So last night, it came to an end for the old U.S. of A. I know the World Cup hasn't been your thing. I was watching it. It was on the iPad. I am not a person that came into the World Cup with expectations for us.
Sure.
So all of this to me has just been extra icing on the cake. For the people that are really knee deep into the soccer stuff and love this, they felt like yesterday was a disappointment. I do think, though, where they ended up feels to me like it was pretty good. I don't think they leave the World Cup with a feeling of massive disappointment, but I could be wrong. I am not the soccer guy. To me, just based off the chatter about what we were coming into the tournament and where we ended up, I think they checked the box of that was a solid run.
I think anytime you make the run, though, the expectations change, right? So you come into this thing and you're like, oh, you know, it would be great if we could get into the round of 32 or whatever the case is, right? Like you just set that and then you start advancing and all of a sudden it's like, ah, you know what? Expectations have to change. They're a little bit higher. So I think there's disappointment because people did change their expectations. I think the other disappointment is how they went out.
That's fair.
Like I think people looked at that team and they were like, probably wasn't the cleanest performance they could have ever seen. Certainly didn't feel like the most inspired performance that they could have seen. And that right there, regardless of going out, if you go out and it just didn't even look like you gave it your best shot, that's going to bother people.
The lasting image is not what you want,
yes.
Right? Is getting embarrassed to a certain degree the way that they did. You brought up something that I think is interesting. You talked about along the way, the expectations changing. Is that a fair thing to do in the world of sports, to where we see a team, we see an individual talent get to a certain point beyond what we thought they could do either that year, whatever it may be, to move the goalpost within that season on that said player or team? Is that a fair thing to do in your mind?
Yes.
Why
wouldn't you? The information changed, so the expectation has to change. I think if the information was the same and the team looked exactly the way that people expected them to look, then you keep your same expectation. But once they start playing to a different level and they start maybe handling competition a little bit differently than what you thought, you have new information. Your expectation needs to change along with it.
So for me, I this is tough because when I look at, we're going to talk about Donovan Mitchell in our last segment of this hour, specifically with the Cavs this year. I said if they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, that was a successful season in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
How they went out, though, leaves a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth because of them getting swept the way that
they
did.
So was it a good or a bad season then?
I'm going to stick with my stance that it was a good season.
I disagree.
That they were still
I disagree.
A round away from the finals. To me, I'm not going to flush that away.
You know what? You know why I would? It's all of the chatter. It felt like that was a mentally weak, soft team by the time you got to the end of it. Because they're, oh, you know, analytically we won. Right. Like that's terrible.
That was, yes,
they got their heart taken away from them. Mm-hmm. Some of those performances. Oh, my goodness.
So would you tab the season as a failure?
Yeah, because apparently that season did not do anything for their ability to be tough when they needed to be tough.
I can't look at the season as a failure when you get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I can't. When they keep rising as far as their playoffs step by step, year in and year out, I can't flush the season away. Disappointment, the end. No doubt about that. But you can't be a failure of a team to me when you're around away.
I don't know if it's a failure of a team necessarily, but it was certainly a failure of the process. I don't think that the regular season reflected a process that could yield the results that you would necessarily want based off of how it ended.
Okay.
I'll put it like that.
Okay. There's no denying that their appearances in the postseason, specifically against the Knicks the last couple of years, that has been embarrassing.
Yeah.
That has been embarrassing, and they got a lot of things to figure out. We'll talk about that here in a few moments. But coming up next, the summer of Bryce Underwood, JP, is continuing. And what I mean by that is every time this guy's name has popped up, there hasn't been anything good attached to it. That trend has continued. We will get into that next with Rothman and Ice right here.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have a partly cloudy sky ahead for the rest of the day. There's a slight chance of a stray shower or storm, but most of us ought to stay dry with highs in the mid-80s. Overnight, partly cloudy skies, patches of fog once again with lows in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, partial sunshine, a little warmer, upper 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. The best teams don't always win titles. Sounds like AR and Maddie bragging about their fantasy teams.
Hey, that's cheating.
This is Rothman and Ice.
That it is. Welcome back in. Joshua Perry in the house today. Bottom of the hour. Jim Lachey will join us to talk all things Buckeye football. JP, when you look at the current landscape of the Big Ten, the new toys that have entered into the conference, which toy is intriguing you the most right now when you look around? Is it Matt Campbell? Is it Kyle Whittingham? Is it a new quarterback or player that came in via the portal? The new stuff in the Big Ten, what is interesting to you right now?
So I would say Matt Campbell does interest me. And part of the reason why is because I'm not exactly sure that Penn State was in this in the season that they had. Certainly it felt like there had to be a parting of ways between Penn State and James Franklin, but their expectation to me feels so out of whack. Like they're this team that should have broken through and like had more wins against Ohio State and had more wins against Michigan and should have been a team that could win a title. I've never seen them do that in my lifetime. And so I'm curious if Campbell is a guy who can get them over that hump, if he can do more than just 10 wins a year, if he could do more than when Penn State went to the college football playoff semifinal, given the path that they had, they needed to be there.
Yeah.
But can he elevate them past that point is my number one question there.
I'm very curious. Is the expectation level the same for Penn State fans with now Matt Campbell coming in? Because I'm sure some of those fans feel like we've been knocking on these doors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's finally getting over the Ohio State hump or finally beating some of these top 10, top five teams, you could understand with what James Franklin was building or had built over the years that there are some pockets of the fan base that believe we're contenders or we should be contenders. I wonder if that's the same because Matt Campbell has felt like a head coach for Iowa State that has done more with less.
Sure.
As far as head coaches that don't have all the five-star talent and all of that. I've always felt like he's one of those guys to where you get him in a situation like this, some good things will probably follow. I like out of the gate, JP, him bringing Rocco Becht with him, his quarterback. I think that's always a good thing, right? New face, new place as a head coach, bringing a guy with you that has played and played a decent amount of snaps at this level. I think that's going to give him a chance to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
I don't have... I still have CFP expectations for Penn State, but it's really nothing beyond that for me this year. So of the new toys, that certainly for me is up there, but I'd be lying if it wasn't Bryce Underwood and Kyle Whittingham having to figure this thing out. And so we've got two pieces of audio for you. One comes from Eric Weddle, but let's play the new piece of audio from Bryce Underwood. In Rhyme Time, he was at a camp or something.
Yeah, it was a youth camp, and I guess had some kind of media availability.
Had some media availability and had some interesting things to say about his own self. Here it is.
I want to prove to myself that I am what I think I am. That's really it.
And what do you think you are at this stage?
I feel like I'm the best player to ever come out of Michigan, and now it's time for me to show that.
Why do you think that?
Because I worked for it.
Are you working harder now, you think, with this staff?
I'm working smarter than I was last year, so just blessed for the season to come out.
So there's some sticker shock to what he said there.
Sure.
On one hand, I'm kind of like, okay, Jerome Bettis, Charles Woodson, Kirk Gibson, when he, not the baseball player, but also what he was as a football player too. These are also guys that came out of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds a little crazy to me and out of bounds. But JP, on the other side of this, athletes or just anybody that's striving to be great, I think there is a certain level of delusion that you have to have.
Yeah.
That will continue to motivate you all the time. And I think that's something for Bryce Underwood that pushes him is to be that guy, knowing the history of players that have come out of said state.
So I will say, I think the most interesting thing that he said there is that he's working smarter with this new staff. And that comes with the context of them allegedly not having a full-time quarterback coach last year, right? Like he feels certainly that he's in better hands right now. And so that'll be something to watch. I'm 50-50 on Underwood saying that he wants to prove that he's the best player that's come out of Michigan. Because, as you said, it feels a little bit delusional after what we saw out of him. Right? He felt like he regressed by the very end of the year. Certainly is talented. He's big. He can run a little bit. He's got the big arm. But he wasn't a quarterback mm-hmm. yet. So that was a problem. At the same time, if he thinks he's that good, what else do you want him to say? Like, I feel like we get into this thing where we criticize athletes for saying what they honestly believe because sometimes it's a little bit crazy for us to hear. I don't fault him for saying that. So I'll be curious to see how much better he actually has gotten. I think one of the interesting things with a guy like Underwood is it feels like he got zero benefit of the doubt. And maybe that's because of the alleged NIL price tag that was associated with him. Maybe it's because of things like this where people feel like he might be a little bit cocky, you know, best freshman to ever do it, all those different things that he said. We don't give him any benefit of the doubt, but we watched Arch Manning play basically bad a whole season except for two games against A&M and against Michigan in the bowl game. And all of a sudden, he's the best quarterback in college football coming back. So I am a little bit more of the, let's wait and see how this thing goes. Mm-hmm. I think there are some problems that he's got to get corrected, but I don't fault him for feeling like he's got something to prove. And if he believes to say he's the best guy that's come out of Michigan, so be it.
To your point about what else is he supposed to say? The other side of that is something that Derrick Rose went through years ago. Remember when he made the comments about, hey, I want to make sure I'm there for my kids' recitals and all that and not putting my body on the line anymore because I'm thinking down the road. He got crushed for that.
Yeah.
He got crushed for that. So sometimes coaches, athletes, you're in a lose-lose situation. It can be a thankless gig as far as what you say.
But do we want them to say the right thing or do we want them to say what's on their mind?
I want guys to say what's on their mind all the time. Those guys to me are more entertaining.
I agree.
And it's real. I also understand that you can't always come out and say whatever you want as a coach or athlete.
Sure.
It can put your team behind the eight ball in certain situations. But I don't love the robotic stuff either.
That robotic stuff bothers me. I would criticize guys more for doing that than for saying what's on their mind. Like certainly there has to be a conversation around whatever was said.
For sure.
But I'm never going to kill a guy for saying what he said.
No.
Now, if it doesn't turn out the right way, months down the line, I'm going to replay this and I'm going to say, oh, what happened? Huh? What happened? But for right now,
I'm good. Here for it. Middle of July, not a ton going on. I'm here for this as well. One guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer is Eric Weddle. Eric Weddle's going to the Hall of Fame, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think he will end up in Canton. He paid a visit to Ann Arbor throughout the spring. And Kyle Whittingham from Utah, Eric Weddle played at Utah, so there's those ties there. Here's a little bit of the behind the scenes of what he saw from Bryce Underwood at the time.
Mark my words, I was out there for spring ball. Don't be surprised if the backup's playing early because that Underwood kid, I don't think he could throw or play quarterback. So we'll see.
Really? Boy, move Bryce Underwood to defensive end.
It's like I don't understand like it's just quarterbacks in general, but I don't understand how the position is not being taught like from the pocket. Like I tried to teach like Coach Gage, you are a quarterback first who can be an athlete. You're not an athlete who plays quarterback. So I have taught him from the ground up, from pocket awareness, from timing to footwork, like all that stuff matters because at the end of the day, your athleticism can only take over so much.
We've seen guys like this, mm-hmm. right? Guys that have played this position at the high school level that are just, hey, I'm just more of a dude than you are at this level. I don't have to have all the nuances and all the finite details of what it takes to play that position.
Which he didn't.
Out. right now.
Yeah.
And to your point, we saw that on display in year one where he looked overwhelmed. Well, he also looked overwhelmed. You could see some of those pockets of, oh, that's why he was the number one player and all of that stuff. But it wasn't consistent enough. What would scare the heck out of me, if I were a Michigan fan, was Eric Weddle pretty much telling them the kids still lost.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much of that you take away. Like, the offseason's really long.
And it's one practice.
It's one practice. He's got all of training camp.
Yep.
Right? Like, again, say what you want. I'm a little bit wait and see. The other thing that becomes super intriguing in the, you know, when do you throw the hook on him, is the alleged NIL amount of $12 million.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do. Can you, if he's complete disaster, obviously you have to. If he's playing average football,
mm-hmm.
can you actually bench him? Like, he would have to be multiple interceptions a game for you to say, all right, we have to do something.
And even if you pull him, is he done for the year, or are you coming back to him the next week? Because I think you bring up a very interesting angle of all of this in college football, not just with Bryce Underwood. These big ticket players that are supposed to be dudes, and these collectives and all these people that are spending all of this money, how much weight do those people have walking around certain buildings, right? When it right. comes to these decisions, because if I'm Booster X and I paid, call it $400,000 for this player, and he doesn't play well and then he gets pulled, my investment, I'm not getting any return on that.
Yeah.
Do I want to come back the next year and do the same thing?
No.
Probably not.
Or maybe you come back next year and say, I've got a bigger bag and we'll go get a different.
Maybe so.
Who knows?
Maybe right? so. My gut's telling me Bryce Underwood is going to get plenty of runway to figure this out.
Now, Tommy Carr is their backup quarterback. He's supposed to be a pretty good player. Obviously, there's a Michigan ties there with him. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a little bit of push and pull if Bryce Underwood is not much better. But I do think that there is this idea of, he was always our plan. We have made the investment in him, and we don't have the liberty to just give up.
If you're Bryce Underwood, would you rather be in Baton Rouge right now? With Lane Kiffin running the show and the offenses that he rolls out there on Saturdays?
Maybe, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yes, probably.
Yeah.
But if you want to be home, you want to be home. If you wanted the bag.
You definitely are not passing up on the bag, but coming home comes along with a whole bunch of other pressures too. And there's no doubt he is going to be one of the players around college football that has a ton of eyeballs on him week in and week out. Because if it does hit, then we're talking about a very interesting landscape around the Big Ten. They end their regular season in a very, very tough way. Two of their last three games at Oregon, home against UCLA, and then at Ohio State. On their schedule as well is a home game against Penn State, and then they host Oklahoma as well. So their schedule is pretty tough. We're going to lock in on the old Scarlet and Gray with the all-time great Jim Lachey next in just 2 minutes. We're Rothman and Ice right here.
Holders. Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony's hidden talent is weaving a movie quote into every conversation. It's mostly not annoying. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Going to light up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and bring on one of the greats, Jim Lachey. You hear him every Saturday with Paul Keels, Skip Mossick, and the crew doing an awesome job with Tyler Danberg as well. Jim, welcome in, my man. How's summer been treating you?
Maddie, summer's been going great. Great to be with you and Joshua this afternoon. It's crazy. It's the 4th of July. That's over. And now it's football season. It seems like it's been that way since I can remember. Once you get the 4th of July, it's go time. And
yeah,
I'm sure everybody kind of feels that way.
No doubt. In the blink of an eye, it's going to feel like we're talking Ball State. It's going to be here before we know it, as it usually is. Jim, let's start with the trenches, right? Because I remember when we talked to you at the end of the regular season coming out of Indiana and Miami, there were just discussions of up front wasn't as clean and dominant as they wanted it to be. Now, turning the page into spring, summer ball, being around the team, Jim, how are you feeling about the unit up front that's got to protect Julian and carve out lanes for the running backs?
Well, the good news is they got four starters coming back. And that's key. Having your tackles and your center, and one of the guards, Luke Montgomery, and then obviously Gabe Van Tickle and Josh Padilla had played a little bit at that guard position too. So that's going to be critical. That's the good news. Bad news is the last two games they were together, they can only muster up 24 points when they needed it against Indiana and against Miami. So it comes down to the trenches. Hey, I had the privilege to play with the Hogs, with Joe Gibbs, and you think about those teams, the really only consistent part was that offensive line, having a great offensive line. They had three different quarterbacks, you know, Joe Theismann, Doug Williams, Mark Rippon, you know, all led them to the Super Bowl wins. But, you know, the quarterbacks were there, but different running backs, receivers were pretty much the same. But the offensive line was the continuity of that team and led that team. And I think to be a great football team, you look at Indiana last year, they had a great offensive line. You got to have a great offensive line if you're going to get it done. And, you know, they got Ball State to start the season September 5th and then on the road to Texas on the 12th. And you got to think Will Muschamp's, you know, going to be studying that Miami film, going to be studying that Indiana film to find out how they were able to put pressure on Ohio State and get them off rhythm, and how they were able to limit them just to 24 points in those two games. And, you know, if you look at it, what they do, I mean, they moved around on the fronts. They stunted a lot, you know, threw in some blitzes and had a lot of movement up front. So I got to think that, you know, he's going to be studying that. Now he's back at Texas after, you know, being at Texas as a coordinator. Now he's back, and, you know, I'm sure that's something you got to do. Now, how do you counter that? Well, you know, offensive line, you got to get it done. You got to be able to pick up those stunts. You got to be able to pick up those wide nine rushers that we saw out of Miami to put less pressure. And I think, you know, too, increasing our tempo. Last year, we were probably one of the slowest playing teams, you know, throughout college football. And, you know, we talked about Ryan Day, talked about a lot, you know, just, you know, it's a long year. We're trying to, you know, limit reps, limit things like that. And plus, you had a first-year starting quarterback in Julian Sand. And I think now you get in, and that may be effective this late December, early in January, when we needed to, you know, put some points on the board. If you look at that Miami game, I think we had, what, three, maybe four possessions in that game. You know, that's not going to get it done. So you got to probably play a little bit faster, and you can go as your offensive line goes. So for those guys, obviously you feel good about Austin Saraveld, what he's been able to do at tackle. You know, there's a chance he can move into guard if Ian Moore steps up and plays. Philip Daniels, you know, is a guy that got a lot of reps last year. He's got to continue to get better. Luke Montgomery, Carson Hintzman have proven themselves as starters and legitimate players inside. So those guys got to really step up. And I think with a new offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, you know, he's kind of a run game, you know, certainly with the Titans, with Derrick Henry, he was able to run the ball. And of course, if you have Derrick Henry, why not hand the ball off to him as much as you can? And of course, Joshua probably remembers that against Alabama in 2014. Probably happy they didn't hand the ball off to him more the way he could run the football. But, you know, that's, you know, the type of thing. If you got the receivers we have, you're going to see a lot of nickel, right? Because you want to make sure you got everybody to cover on Jeremiah Smith. That means you have to have the ability to run the football. And, you know, last year, Bo Jackson emerged as the type of guy that can do that. You brought in, you know, another running back in Jacoby Jackson. He's a guy that can get it done. Isaiah West is another player. And then Legend Bay, a guy that can do a little bit of everything. So having a strong running game, you know, especially when you go on the road against Texas, I think it's going to be crucial for these Buckeyes.
So you mentioned Julian Sain entering year two. And it's weird to me, the offseason conversation about him compared to some of the other quarterbacks in college football, I feel like he's not getting the respect that he deserves. So what do you think people need to see out of his game, or where do you think he needs to improve this year to garner that respect nationally?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. He's a guy that, you know, was, I thought, did a great job through 12 games. You know, was very good in his touchdown to interception ratio at 32 TDs, 8 interceptions. You'll take that all day long. 77% completion rating. So I think just going into year two, and everybody knows, you know, after your first year starter going into year two, your first year starter is full of a bunch of firsts, right? Your first road game, your first home game, your first Big Ten opponent, your first playoff game, your first Michigan game. Now all that's kind of behind him. He's, you know, been able to bank all that experience that he has. And, you know, certainly he's got a new coordinator, and he's going to have to, you know, play to his strengths and what he's able to do. But he's a guy that I think could make all the throws. I really like Julian. He's a heck of a kid, heck, you know, take away the football stuff, he's a great guy. Then you throw in what he can do on the football field, and he's a fabulous football player too. I think you'll see a lot of growth out of him coming into year two, and especially, you know, the DNA that Ryan Day's had with quarterbacks over the years. And, you know, certainly, you know, looking at a quarterback coach, Billy Fessler has done some great jobs with quarterbacks too. So I think having that combination, having a guy coming back for a second year, I expect big things to continue and, you know, improve off what he did last year, which I thought had a good year.
We're talking all things Buckeye football with Jim Lachey right here on Rothman and Ice. Jim, let's flip it over to defense. And I want to maybe highlight a guy or two that's a new face on defense that came in from the portal. And so whether it's a couple of the D linemen, the guys on the back end of the defense, who's a guy to you that has jumped out through spring and summer that's a new face on the defense that you're excited to watch on Saturdays this season?
Well, certainly when you look at the defensive line, you know, all those guys are pretty much back or gone except for a guy like Kenyatta Jackson who came back. And, you know, Kenyatta's got to have a great year. I mean, that's the reason they brought him back for, you know, his fifth year, is that he's got to go out there and dominate and be healthy. You know, there's a couple games where he's gotten nicked up and he's got to find a way to stay healthy and be out there. And, you know, even if you do get nicked up, don't let those guys know it, man. Finish a series, go out, get fixed up and come back out there and play. I thought Zion Grady, you know, really developed into a guy that, you know, can step up, and I think he's a guy to keep an eye on outside. Rashaw outside, you know, I think also adds some speed and quickness, you know, and can give some problems to some offensive tackles. He's the type of guy that I would line him up wide, you know, make an offensive tackle, take some false steps and things like that, and get him out there in the edge and have some ability to put, you know, some pressure on the quarterback. But, you know, inside, who's going to replace a guy like Caden McDonald, you know, the year he had last year? He was fabulous. You know, is it John Walker? Is it James Smith? You know, Edric Houston is another guy that's been involved and played a lot of football. Will Smith has come on inside and made some plays. So, you know, I spent a lot of time talking about that offensive line, but I think it's the same. And he went with great defense, a great defensive front. You know, Larry Johnson's done a great job throughout his career developing great football players, and I think that's going to continue. And then on the back end, you know, Terry Moore, I think he's a guy that, you know, after having a guy like Caleb Downs back there kind of directing everybody around, when you look at our defense, the only two returning starters we have is Jalen McClain and Jermaine Matthews. You know, and certainly Devin Sanchez played a lot of football for us along with Peyton Pierce, but now it's their time. It's their time to shine. And, you know, one thing I'm sure Josh would agree of, our backups are pretty good. You know, once they get an opportunity to play, now they will here at Ohio State, it's their time to make their name. And, you know, all those guys will have to step up. Earl Little is another guy, he's a big hitter back there. Certainly he's got, you know, all the things, played on some great football at FSU, Florida State, and Alabama. You know, now he's got to step up here and get it done with the Buckeyes this year. But I think inside, you know, when you look at our linebackers, you know, Joshua can obviously talk about that too, but Christian Allegro, Peyton Pierce, you know, are really, really good football players. You got some young guys behind them, and T.J. Alford and Riley Pettijohn, I think, are ready to go, and then a freshman in Sincere Johnson that passes the eyeball test. Now he's got to, you know, put him out there and make plays, probably a lot on special teams earlier. But, you know, with James Laurinaitis coaching those guys up, I feel confident that group will come in and nail some things down and play some good football for Ohio State.
It's going to be fun to watch. Just a few weeks away from everybody getting rolling. Got media days popping off, Jim, with the Big 12 today. And so in the coming weeks, there'll be a lot of football in the air. We appreciate your time as always. Have a good one, my man. Thank you.
It's a talking season right now. A lot of talk before you get into playing.
There's no doubt. Have a good day, Jim. Jim joined us via the Brian Heating and Cooling. Yeah, see you, man. Anytime. He joined us via the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Real quick, JP, he touched on the amount of new faces that we're going to see on defense.
Yeah.
How long does it take to build chemistry with new teammates out there on the field? How long did that take for you?
It's a unique question because with us, it was a lot of guys who had been in the program, maybe a stray freshman or two.
Right.
Right now, it's so many transfers mm-hmm. that are coming in. You have to let them be themselves, but you also have to bring them into the Ohio State culture.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's different than what we had experienced. They spend a lot of time working at it, though. Right. We see the footage from practice. They're watching tape together. They're doing team building activities outside of the building. And then in training camp, if you can't find a way to get close with your teammates, then you're just not going to figure it out. You spent a lot of time with those guys, so I think they'll be all right.
Makes sense. Coming up next, Donovan Mitchell. He's not going anywhere. We will fill you in on the details of his new contract and what we think this means for a possible LeBron return. We'll touch on it next with Rothman and Ice right here on us.
Tyus Powell is a contradiction. He'll police the food you have on your plate and shame you into dieting. Also, he has a burner Uber Eats account, so his wife doesn't know what he's eating. T-Bone and Tyus.
Weekday mornings at 6.
The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
I'll tell you what, man, you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan. Give me a little Spider 2 by a banana. Bring it in here, guys, man.
Appreciate you, Coach Gruden. That's got to be the most famous football play ever, right? Because of him.
Yes.
Like that, I think just a common football fan that they can reference Spider 2 Y Banana.
Which is like the most simple, throw it to the flat every time. If he's open, throw it out there.
He made that famous. And I think after that, maybe the Philly special?
I guess so. Philly special definitely was a hit on social media of like groomsmen running it at weddings, right. Which... Sorry if any of y'all did that, but grow up.
Oh, man. Donovan Mitchell. Man, I remember just a few years ago when Donovan Mitchell became a Cav, and there was right out of the gate the initial angst of, oh, is he going to go? When is he leaving to go to New York?
Yes.
When is he going to be a Knick? And now here we are on, what's today, July 7th, and he is committed again to the Cleveland Cavaliers in the form of a four-year, $273 million contract extension.
It's a lot of money.
Woo! And that's going to include a player option for the 2030-2031 season. So we know what time it is with that. That is getting picked up. So year one of the extension for Donovan Mitchell, that's going to be $60 million. Year two is going to be $65. The last 2 years of this extension, years 3 and 4, Joshua Perry, Donovan Mitchell is going to be making $70 million and $75.5 million the year after that.
Wow.
Woo!
Let me hold some.
And that's guaranteed, folks, for the folks that don't know. That is guaranteed.
How do we get
that's
to
a
the
nice
money
life.
Like that? Like, how do we get
My
there?
Goodness. It's just timing.
Start a Ponzi scheme.
Because
he might end up in prison, but you can get to the money for a little bit.
I looked this up. Prior to this extension that he signed today, I want you guys to take a guess at where his career earnings were prior to this extension. That's not even obviously going to kick in yet.
How long has he been in the league?
He has been in the league
since 17, I believe.
This was his ninth year, and rhyme time is correct. He was the 13th overall pick in the 2017 draft.
I'm going to say, and I could be off, I'm going to say 200 mil.
Okay. Rhyme time, what's your guess?
I would think that he's gotten at least some kind of big bag between the Jazz and the Cavs before this one. Man, I'll go 300.
Okay. You're pretty high.
Okay.
$188 million.
I was going to say 180, but I went on the high side.
$188 million.
Get so much bread. It's crazy. And it's not even guys like him. Like, he is a star. But the role players, you hear some of the career earnings for guys who are like not even close to the third, fourth best player on their team, but they still made it like 15 years in the.
And those guys have racked up like contracts that are like 4 years for $50 million. But you keep stacking those up along the way as a role player. And that is obviously great living. So look, Donovan Mitchell has earned this. I think he's been spectacular since he became a Cav. If this didn't happen, this would be obviously bad, bad vibes for Cleveland and where the basketball is headed. What this means now for LeBron, I think he will be down for playing with a guy like Donovan Mitchell, who can take some off of his plate as far as handling the rock all the time. He can trust Donovan because of Donovan's playoff track record as a guy that has shown you that I can hold it down as a key offensive aircraft carrier.
What is LeBron like playing off ball, though?
Well, he did it with Luka But does that mean he loved doing that? And does that mean
what I'm getting? Like, I just the sample size isn't all that big.
And I don't think Donovan Mitchell wants to play off ball.
No, I don't think he wants to play off ball. By the way, the James Harden thing where he kind of likes to have the pill too. Like,
that's the thing.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the thing for me that I think is the holdup.
Everyone wanted to say when Steph and KD and Klay teamed up, is there enough balls to go around? That's the case if LeBron comes to Cleveland with this current roster right now.
The Harden thing is throwing me off.
Yeah.
If he was not in this equation, I would love the possibility of LeBron coming back.
Yep.
Because then I think it would give them more flexibility to maybe add another piece elsewhere, whatever that may look like. But that's tough. That three-headed monster of Harden, Mitchell, and LeBron feels a little clunky to me. So that the narrative of him coming home would be awesome. We're all on board with that. But I'm buying what Rich Paul and LeBron are saying, that this is about, hey, strictly ball and the best fit for him at the moment. And so Harden, I think, will be back.
Right.
I think he opted out to rework a deal with Cleveland, so I'm expecting him to run it back. But, JP, I got to be honest, outside of the emotional part of it, I don't love the fit of Harden with LeBron.
I don't think I do either, but this to me feels even like the basketball fit might be a little bit secondary to some of the other goals that LeBron has at this point. Like, I think he's just like, you know, where do I want to be just geographically? Who do I want to be around at this point? How can I monetize this in other ways? Like, he is building a brand that's going to stretch much further than basketball for when he's done. So I think he would be willing to make some concessions fit-wise and maybe style of play-wise in order to get into the right situation for everything else.
You're talking about some of the business part of it. What was the Jay-Z line? I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. That's when you know you're feeling it. You're a boss. You're a boss. I just thought of this. Now that Myles Garrett isn't in the equation as far as the Cleveland sports landscape, who is the face of Cleveland sports right now?
Shedeur Sanders.
I was going to say Donovan.
I was actually going to say Jose Ramirez.
Here we are.
This is a little bit of an issue.
I was going to say Jose Ramirez.
You know how many jerseys that man sold, Shedeur Sanders?
Through the roof.
That's what I'm saying.
It's Deshaun Watson. What are we talking about?
Through the roof. But I think those are the names right now. I think it's Shedeur, no doubt. I think it's Jose Ramirez.
For sure.
And then I think it is Donovan Mitchell. In that poll, I think it would... Let's throw out a poll.
Okay.
Rhyme time. Throw out a poll. Who is the face of Cleveland sports right now? Because that will obviously change in the coming weeks if LeBron says, I'm coming home. That's done.
Yeah.
The conversation is obviously done. But it was Miles prior to the trade.
I would say.
So where are we now? And is there anybody we're forgetting? So I think it is Jose, Shedeur, and Donovan Mitchell.
And then you got to throw the other tab up there just to cover our bases.
Sure. So let's throw those four options out there. And in this, right around, call it 2:30 rhyme time, if you could time it up on Twitter, I'm interested to see where the Cleveland fan base is with that. Weigh in on that. Coming up in our second hour, Tyvis Powell, he will join us at 1:30. But when we come back, JP, a very odd story came out this morning from ESPN that involves Sean Payton and Bill Belichick. We will tell you why next. We're Rothman and Ice right here.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Seven-time All-Star Donovan Mitchell has agreed to a four-year, $273 million max extension with the Cavaliers, including a player option for the 2030 season and a full trade kicker. Since being traded in 2022, he ranks ninth in the league in scoring average. More NBA, ESPN reporter Knicks star Jalen Brunson is undergoing left wrist surgery. He's expected to return to basketball activities later this summer. World Cup round of 16, Egypt leads Argentina 1-0 at halftime. Egypt's Yasser Ibrahim scored in the 15th minute, while 10 minutes later, Lionel Messi missed a penalty kick to equalize. Baseball tonight, Reds host the Phillies at 7:10, while the Guardians visit the Twins at 7:40. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union, bmifcu.org/visa. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This two have a ton in common. Anthony loves hockey, and Maddie's always cold. This is Rothman and Ice.
That it is. That it is. Joshua Perry in the building today. Bottom of the hour, the self-proclaimed Joshua People's Champ, Tyvis Powell. We'll stop by. Self-proclaimed. You know. Always a good chat with him.
Who proclaims that themselves?
Tyvis Powell.
Don't you let other people do that for you? If you are really the people's champ, shouldn't the people make the proclamation?
You would think, but of all the people you and I know, if you had to tab one guy to do that, I think Tyvis would be high up on our both our lists.
Bobby Carpenter as well.
Shout out to Carp. Shout out to Carp. We have a giveaway for you guys today. Winner's going to receive a family four-pack of tickets to the Good Guys 28th Summit Racing Nationals, July 10th through the 12th at the Ohio Expo Center. So you never know, we're going to give that away, so stick with us. Whatever rhyme time is feeling gracious, we will do so. We will do so. When you're thinking rhyme time, give me, got a hint on when you want to do that? This hour, hey. Next hour? Give them a blues clue.
Yeah, we could do this hour.
Okay, there we go. There we go. So this hour.
Blues clue.
You never know. I don't really know how I feel about that show, because when I watched it as a kid, it wasn't Arthur for me.
Oh, man.
It wasn't Rocket Power for me.
Arthur.
I think it was one of those things where it was popular amongst the streets, so I felt like I had to get in on it.
So,
but I don't have nostalgia when it comes to the Blues Clues.
My older brother was a big Barney guy as a kid.
Creepy.
And then creepy. I was Arthur. I had an Arthur alarm clock. I had an Arthur like doll you squeeze its hand and would talk to.
Arthur was my guy.
Was my guy. And then my younger brother loved the big comfy couch. That was his show.
Okay. Okay.
Reimer, I don't know if you ever think about this, but the kids shows were actually different when we were younger. They were they were way less chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
The music was more gentle and soft. And now everything is loud and a lot of movement and a lot of colors flashing, and it's high stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much like if you go and you look at cereal boxes, they are made to reach the attention of children. It's a marketing thing that goes on with these shows. They want kids to stay attached to the screen for longer. So when they test these shows, they will look at when the kids look away and then figure out that's when they need to have another thing to capture their attention.
Okay.
When we were younger, it was just chill.
Yeah, it was. It really was. Now, like this generation, I've heard parents reference them as screenagers.
Mm.
Not teenagers, screenagers, because they're on their tablets and phones all day.
They are.
Like, you guys are fathers, great fathers, both of you. How much screen time do your kids get?
Well, Nora's not getting anything right now because she doesn't know. Yeah, she's just playing with toys and whatnot. But
she's so young. She doesn't know any better.
Yeah, only 9 months old.
Right. I have a thing about the toys, too. That's a different conversation. My son likes to watch certain movies. So his deal right now is Monsters, Inc.
Okay.
That's all he likes to watch.
Good stuff.
Like, he could watch it on repeat all day.
Big Pixar guy, your son is?
Yeah.
Into that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we try to limit. There are times where it's like, we need a break as parents, so we're going to flip this on real
Here's
quick.
Here's your iPad.
I'm just going to be completely honest. We really don't do the iPad thing. We just put it on the TV, which I don't know if that's better or worse, but we don't just like let him sit in a corner with an iPad.
Yeah.
But we try to get him outside and like in nature and playing with toys. The problem with toys right now is a lot of the toys don't promote independent play. So they don't let your kid figure out how to play with the toy. They don't promote creativity.
You're involved.
They have a closed loop that basically is like, you play with this toy a very specific way and that's it.
Yeah.
That's not good for the development either.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on all this stuff right now.
I like it.
I do feel like I will get in trouble a few years from now with screen time stuff because Nora's like already hinting at a few things, but like off of like TV shows.
Uh-huh.
Like she's like, if like the Friends theme song just suddenly pops on, or like Big Bang Theory, she'll just immediately snap her head to the TV and because she's familiar with it. Okay. I guess
it was the Liberty Mutual commercials for James when he was little. That was
the one that
would capture his attention immediately.
They did their job
in BK Melts.
Oh, I think everybody kind of knows the Burger King jingle at this point. It is everywhere.
Yep.
We know we rule. Thank you, Burger King. Mm-hmm. We know at this point. Wild story coming out of the ESPN headquarters this morning. Seth Wickersham, you may recognize the name. He's done a lot of big time pieces. I know he was heavily involved with the Belichick and Brady breakup before Tom went down to Tampa, excuse me, and he highlighted some of the behind the scenes things that we didn't know about, which was interesting. And so now he comes out with another piece that involves Bill Belichick, but it includes Sean Payton. And here's why, because per ESPN's Seth Wickersham, Sean Payton had the idea back in 2024 that he would step back and become some type of offensive coordinator, assistant head coach in title, whatever it was going to be, allow Bill Belichick, JP, to swoop in, become the head coach in title of the Denver Broncos so he could chase down Don Shula's NFL win record. This is crazy. The fact that Sean Payton was seriously considering this is a tough look, I think, for Sean Payton. So I don't like this at all.
It's one of two things for me is number one, you're either so wrapped up with another man's resume that you're willing to take the back seat and he can get credit for some of the work that you're still going to be doing.
Crazy.
So his resume could look a certain way, or you always want your name said when the story is told about the coach who has the most wins in NFL history.
Look at Sean Payton. He was so humble.
And the way that Bill got there was Sean Payton stepped out the way and took a back seat so Bill could do it. It's one or the other. And I'm leaning toward
the latter.
He wanted his name right there with him.
It's interesting. I like the way your brain works. I like that a lot. I don't think Bill Belichick would have signed up for this. Not this way. Bill Belichick doesn't strike me as a guy that wants a handout to get to this record.
Did he ever strike you as a guy who would be going to adult cheerleading competitions?
He does not.
So you never know.
He does not. He doesn't. So that's fair. He also never struck me as a guy that was doing yoga with his girlfriend on the beach. Like, I didn't see that coming. This is a whole new Bill Belichick that we're seeing. But JP, I don't understand this from Sean Payton's perspective either. Sean Payton has carved out a role amongst NFL head coaches as one of the better ones of his generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Getting to the top of the mountain, winning the Super Bowl, the year in and year out consistency that the Saints displayed when it was Drew Brees and Sean Payton at the helm. But now you're turning the page to Denver. And I think when he first got to Denver, he needed to remind some folks of how elite of a coach he was, because they traded for him. And they gave up some pretty significant draft capital. Can you look that up, Rhyme Time? Can you refresh my memory on that? The Sean Payton trade that happened. Am I remembering that correctly, JP, or am I thinking of somebody else? I think off the top of my head, Sean Payton, the Broncos had to give up some pretty significant draft capital to get Sean Payton.
That feels right.
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. What do you got, Ron Tom?
Just off a quick search from AI Overview, it was a 2024 third round pick to New Orleans.
That was it. Just a third round pick. Okay, so nothing. That's surprising.
Hang on. It was Sean Payton's and a third round pick from New Orleans in exchange for the Saints received a 2023 first round pick and a 2024 second round pick.
Okay, so that's what I was remembering. Yes. They did have to give up a one. He's now, I think, starting to gain that momentum again. And who knows? If Bo Nix doesn't break his ankle coming out of that playoff win for them, we could be talking about a different Super Bowl champ. But this story makes no sense to me. I don't understand it for either party. I really don't.
I'm glad it never happened.
Right.
Like, it's wild. And I'm glad it never happened because we also have this college version of Bill Belichick who we're learning more about him because you have to be more public when you work for a public institution and people can do FOIA requests and figure out what your emails look like and you have your girlfriend whatever on staff kind of but not, but she has a university email, so we get to see what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. And then we also get to see you look like the coach that many people probably thought he was early in his career, which is maybe a little bit mid.
Mm. And post Brady too. We got some of that as well, because he was put in a position where it's like, okay, Bill, you've been the decision maker. You've had roster control for years, but you've always had the safety blanket of Tom bleeping Brady. He's no longer there. I was always team 12.
Right.
I was team Tom Brady. I just happen to believe, while yes, I can acknowledge how good to great some of these coaches are, you guys, as players, you got to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Brady did it at the highest of levels year in and year out. And then
he made Mac Jones looked like he could not play football. He took that guy from playing his best football in the league in his rookie year to like purgatory and had to work his way back into our imaginations. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, let's call a spade on what Bill did as a coach outside of the Tom Brady era.
That's it. And now he's in a very odd spot in Chapel Hill, year two, I believe, down there as the head honcho. Last year, just but I'll give him some grace. Year one, a lot of turnover, new roster. I like to give coaches at least year one to figure some things out.
You can never take away that opening drive from North Carolina.
Oh, dude, the social media.
I was freaking out, guys.
Oh, my God.
I was going nuts. I'm not going to lie.
Insane at the time. And then by the end of the game, we're like, ooh, yikes. It's going to be a little bit icky.
By the end of the game, it was by the end of the first quarter.
It really was. That thing got out of hand pretty quick.
I'm glad you guys mentioned that because it's something I've trained myself to do as a fan of the sport over the last few years, is don't go crazy about those scripted plays early on. Because there's been so many games I've watched,
I swear,
where it's like, oh my gosh, this offense today, they got it. And then you get to the middle of the second quarter and it's like, oh man.
Don't got it.
It was their scripted plays. It was their 12 to 15 best plays that they had. That's it.
The other part for Bill was him learning how to manage a college program. There was a big write-up. I can't remember who wrote it and when it came out, but they basically talked about everything that he did wrong, mm-hmm. including like how he talked to the parents of players. And it was just like, this guy has no clue.
None. But he's coming back to get this record from Don Shula, right? He's not going to leave this on the table, right?
Listen, dude, I don't know if anybody's going to have him back. Who would have him? Would you? Let's say this Jesse Minter thing doesn't work out and the Ravens are like, oh, we're in on Bill. How would you feel?
Here's what we'll do. I'll give you my answer after the break.
Good.
Rothman and Ice right here.
The Reds are on the Fans family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have a partly cloudy sky ahead for the rest of the day. There's a slight chance of a stray shower or storm, but most of us ought to stay dry with highs in the mid-80s. Overnight, partly cloudy skies, patches of fog once again with lows in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, partial sunshine, a little warmer, upper 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. Anthony can follow direction very well, as long as he first prints out MapQuest. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Bottom of the hour. Tyvis Powell joins us to talk Browns, Buckeyes, everything in the world of sports. Don't miss that. You're just now hopping on the train. We were having a conversation about Bill Belichick in our previous segment because there was a story that came out of ESPN today that apparently back in 2024, Sean Payton, head coach of the Denver Broncos, was on board with bringing Bill Belichick into the Broncos building, allowing Bill Belichick to be the head coach in title. Sean Payton would then slide over in a temporary role of assistant head coach, offensive coordinator, whatever that would have looked like, because Sean Payton wants Bill Belichick to run down Don Shula's record. So we brought that up, and then we ended the segment with a bit of a question. And going down the road of, is Bill Belichick still, or would he still be, a coveted asset if he parts ways with North Carolina and says, you know what, I want to come back to the Shield, I want to run down Don Shula's record? Your question to me was what exactly?
If the Ravens were in this situation, they were looking at a head coaching vacancy.
Yeah.
And it was being reported that Bill B was the front runner.
Yeah.
How would you feel as a fan?
I would be running the card up to the podium. Because I would want Bill Belichick as the head coach. That was my stance prior to Jesse Minter being hired.
That is so interesting to me.
Here's why. The quarterback's already in place. I think that's the one thing that crushed Belichick post-Tom Brady was that. We know what the guy does well, right? It's defense and focusing there on that side of the ball.
Okay.
if you could have Bill Belichick step into a situation to where he's got a top 10, top five quarterback, I would be on board with that.
You know what he started doing towards the end of his run in the NFL? He was hiring defensive coordinators and special teams coordinators to run his offense with the second-year quarterback.
One great.
That's disqualifying to me.
One great.
That you would just be like, these are guys that I know and that I like and that I'm comfortable with. I don't give a damn if they've actually called plays on this side of the ball before. I'm going to give them the play sheet. Knowing, by the way, my expertise is on the defensive side of the ball. So if things go wrong, they're just going to have to figure it out.
Let me ask
that
you this.
That, to me, is that's the reason why I'm saying, hell no, I'm running.
It's hard to counter any of that decision making. That was tough. The situation, to me, would have been better if the under center situation was better.
All right, so I'm going to ask you this.
Maddie, you can take him. I'm cool with it. You can get him out of Chapel Hill. I'm fine with that.
So let me ask you this.
Man. Yeah.
Lamar, if he was in that situation with Matty P, who we love here in Columbus, he's doing a hell of a job.
No doubt. No
and
doubt.
And Joe Judge calling the plays on offense. How do you think he would be handling that?
If I had to guess, in time, there would be a level of frustration there that would show itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that those two guys together. All right. So let me ask you this. If that did happen, where would that head coach quarterback combination rank for you?
What?
Belichick and Lamar.
I'm not sure. And the reason I'm saying that is that the type of quarterback that Bill would even envision in his ideal offense?
I think he would like that type of quarterback because of how it can help out his defense. I think he would be on board with a game-wrecking quarterback that can bleed the clock late in games with the run.
I mean, they went from Tom.
I was about to say, it's the complete opposite from Tom Brady.
To slower Tom.
He's also the same. he's also the same head coach that did bring in Cam Newton.
For sure.
He was, I think, in that headspace of trying to.
I don't know if that is the ideal thing. Again, I don't want to disparage the man's greatness too much because he has done things that we have never seen from a coach in the game. But it feels like it just might be time to be like, all of those things happened and they were phenomenal. And I'm glad they happened for him and all those Patriots teams.
Yeah.
We're good.
What I think would be ideal is if you got him into a situation, because I do think he's going to come back to the NFL. I think it would drive him nuts to be that close.
Thank goodness.
That close to that record and not get that. You're 14, 15 wins away. Like, that would drive me insane.
I mean, that could be 14 or 15 seasons the way he's looked on the sideline lately.
All right, come on. Now we're taking it too far. with Bill Belichick. What I think would be ideal, though, honestly, and here's the tough part in what I'm about to say, is that I don't know if he would sign up for a lack of roster control. That's, I think, where things would get dicey.
Yeah, that's so a good point.
If you have a GM in-house that can handle that.
And the owner's like, the GM does the GM.
Yes.
And you do the football.
Then I'm really in. But I don't think he's going to want to give up that power, JP.
Yeah, I mean, I think to that point, he's also deserved the right to walk in and be like, I want to be over all of it. You know, like, I think there are only a handful of guys that can walk into a meeting with an owner and be like, one of the conditions of my employment here is that I'm in control of all of this.
Yep.
So as much as I am like over the Bill B experience, and I hope to God that there aren't teams lining up to hire him, I would understand where he's walking in there and he's like, this is what I need. And he's earned the right to be able to ask for it.
If Bill Belichick leaves North Carolina, let's say after this year. I was looking at some of the odds, you know, for the ACC this year. They're way down at the bottom. Only teams below them with worse odds, Syracuse, Stanford, and Boston College.
That sounds about right.
That is sick.
Yeah.
So, it is absolutely sick.
I mean, but
it makes sense.
Okay.
It makes a ton of sense.
So let's say this year just blows up in his face, right? Bad record. All of it just falls apart. If Bill Belichick announces that he's coming back to the NFL, he's number one, I believe, on the list of candidates.
I don't know if he's number one.
I think he's number one.
That's tough.
If it's that bad again,
They're not going to care about the North Carolina thing. I don't think the NFL would care about this.
The wild part about that, though, let me talk to that point. Because the wild part about that, I had to listen to all of these talking heads who cover the NFL, analysts, reporters, everybody, who crap on college football constantly, even though that's like where all of the players come from, right? Like these two things are, they're married together in a certain way. Oh, he's just going to step in. Yo, you see some of these coaches, they're not nearly as good. He's just going to step in. Oh, look at all the championships he's won there. Oh, he can recruit. He's just going to flash the rings. It's going to be all fine. Everything about being a college coach, they discounted and they said, oh, he'd be able to do it. It's no problem. The NFL is a tougher league to win in. He's got all the skills to do it. And then he comes in and looks like he doesn't know how to coach. And so if I thought originally that this should be the easy part and he can't do the easy part right, why do I think after watching the way things ended in the NFL and then the way things look at UNC that he would just come right back and all of the things would be fine? Because I would be a dummy if I thought that.
Because he's coming back to something he's done very, very well. And arguably the best to ever do.
He did it well.
Said thing. With Tom Brady.
Not the beginning, not the end.
He's not going to go to a place that like is still like up and coming. Like he's going to want some quarterback that is kind of like we were talking about with Lamar. That's set.
Fair
that's
point.
Something that's already there.
All fair. All fair. All I'm saying is we've seen athletes, we've seen coaches that have accomplished things that are deep in their rearview mirror get so many more opportunities because teams are chasing that. Teams are chasing what these guys have done before. I just think that he would be the cream of the crop as far as candidates go if he decides to come back. I'm not saying that's right. I just think there's no way that teams are going to have a head coaching vacancy and not say we're going to go talk to Bill Belichick before we talk to anybody else.
Interesting one.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. He would want to be in a place where you feel like the quarterback's in a good spot.
He's not going to want to be a part of a rebuild.
Right. So the situation would be, the Bengals look bad again.
Yep.
Joe B might get hurt, whatever the case is. The defense just doesn't improve.
I don't like this.
Well, do you think he would even take that job? Because he would have some of the pieces that he would want, right?
It's true.
But then you look at ownership and it's like...
Correct.
So it just feels like a very...
But I think that's a good team to highlight, though.
No, I mean, but it feels like really a very interesting little tap dance that they would have to do to even make this a possibility. But that's the one that comes to mind when you say that.
I agree with it. I just don't want Bill a part of my teams anymore. That's why I don't like it.
Bill haunting you everywhere he goes. Everywhere he goes. I think that's a great call, JP. Like, it would be that type of team.
Yeah.
With that guy where he would be like, okay, I know what number 9 is. We're going to hit the ground running and ball out at a high level. And so, yeah, I think this is going to be another season of him being out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. I can't imagine they have many games that are in prime time.
Let me pull it.
They play TCU in like Ireland the first week of the year.
Okay, and outside of that, I'd be very curious how many, 7:30 on ABC or Fox games that they have.
What if they go 10-2? Like, what if they did? All right, so TCU, as you mentioned, to start things off, they play Clemson. They're at Clemson.
Okay.
Which is going to be a nooner. They play Notre Dame. They play Miami. So if this is a team that can get off to a good start, you have Clemson, Notre Dame, Pitt, Miami. Those could end up being matchups that they would want to highlight.
That they can make
I need this to stop.
I'm painting pictures here.
I know, but it's taking the light out of what North Carolina University of North Carolina actually is.
So what do you think the record's going to be?
Below 500.
Yikes. That feels right, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels right. You guys are a basketball school, though. This is all gravy.
It's Michael Malone time.
This is all, which is still wild that he's
It is
there.
Crazy to think about that.
Unbelievable that he, when that news came down, I was like,
so they got
what?
All pro coaches, huh? This is exactly just what they do now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Coming up in 2 minutes, one half of T-Bone and Tyvus will join us. That half is going to be Tyvus Powell, the People's Champ, right here.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's Tuesday, and Tybus is here.
You have to recognize that one of his greatest strengths is his voice, which makes him sound sexy and smart and sexy and sexy.
It's Tuesdays with Tybus. We'll talk about the Buckeyes, the Browns, and Tybus's weight loss plans that he'll never follow up on.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free sale. Visit windownation.com now.
All right, welcome back in. Joshua Perry in the house today for AR. Going to bring on the one and only self-proclaimed people's champ, Tybus Powell T. What's up, man? How we feeling? You good right now?
Listen, don't try to butter me up. I want you to look up at that clock, that big red clock up there, and tell me what time it say.
It says 1:30 right now.
I'm so tired of you doing this. Anytime that we're a little bit behind on the clocks.
Shut up.
First of all, listen, it say 1:32. Schedule for 1:30. You don't know what I got going on.
Okay, so we'll cut it off 2 minutes early then. Are you busy?
Up here, y'all put me on the back end for Bill.
Are you busy?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I am.
So we'll cut it off 2 minutes early.
Okay, so you touched on what we were talking about. Where are you at with Bill Belichick and the perception of him right now as a coach?
First of all, that dude that's behind the glass, he disrespectful. First of all, talking about you can take him. Please take him off your hands. Like, he ain't happy to have a future Hall of Fame coach coaching his sorry college team that ain't did nothing since Mac Brown left out of there. So you need to quit. That's first of all.
That's fine. They're a basketball school, Tybus.
Listen, they could be everything. Why settle? It's like Ohio State. Why should we just settle for being a football school when we could do both? I'm just saying, it's there for the taking. Anyways, where am I at on Bill Belichick? Well, how many wins does he need to get Don Shula?
I believe it's 14 or 15, somewhere in that range.
So that's about 2 years. Yeah. I like to see him get it. I think somebody is willing to give it. Now, I tell you what. The person that it won't be is his former quarterback, because his former quarterback went on the podcast or did some interview and said, you know what? I'd hire him in a second. He is unbelievable as a coach. Well, guess what? The Vegas Raiders had a job open. They didn't even interview him. So therefore, you can't listen to nothing that Tom Brady says. But I would like to see him get the record.
I think I'm over it, but if that's how y'all feel, that's how y'all feel. I wanted to ask you this because our rejoiner mentioned that you have these weight loss plans and you don't follow through. We are making a trip on Sunday to Waffle House. When you go up in Waffle House, what is your order?
I don't know. I haven't been there. The last time I've been there, I think I got like the all-star breakfast. That's still a thing. They still got the all-star joint. I haven't been there in 10 years. I have no idea. I'm going to just get a waffle. I mean, you can't go to the Waffle House without not getting a waffle. So I'm going to get a waffle and probably some eggs and call it a day.
That's it? No.
Yeah.
No bacon, no sausage, no hash browns.
I might get a sausage. Is it turkey sausage?
Tybus, it is Waffle House.
Is it turkey sausage? That's all I'm asking.
It is the pig.
I don't do no swine, my brother.
Oink, oink.
Oh, my goodness. Tybus Powell joining us here on the Fan via the Bright Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Tila, so Donovan Mitchell news came down today. So two-parter here. Your thoughts on the contract. We were talking about the money that they're going to be paying him in years 3 and 4, this new extension. It's like $70 million in year 3, $75 in year 4. So that's just the price of doing business with a star now in the league. So your thoughts on the contract and what you think this means for LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of it. Like, I wanted him to wait. I wanted the Cavs to kind of wait till next year. I know that obviously if you wait till next year, the extension number jumps by like $100 million. So I get why they want to get it done, and I'm grateful for the fact that he wants to be here, but I'm not 100% sold on Donovan Mitchell being like the number one on the team. Like, I think that this playoffs kind of proved that. I think if you look at Donovan Mitchell in the vacuum for the last few seasons, outside of this one, see this postseason was performance based for me. I feel like he didn't live up to who he's supposed to be in these games this season, in these playoffs. The years prior to, I feel like his body broke down every time he had to take over and just like try to do it himself. So a guy that that didn't show up in the playoffs this year, and then a guy whose body continuously breaks down in the postseason, you gonna pay him this much money to handicap you from forward moving forward? Like, I don't think that's the right move. But hey, you know what? I love Donovan Mitchell. I love what he's done for Cleveland. He's a great guy on and off the court. He's a great role model for the city. I love the fact that Coco Jones is gonna be at every game. That's an added bonus, right? That right there is worth. That's worth $273 million in itself, the fact that Coco Jones is going to be at the games. But, I mean, it's good for Cleveland. You know, they got somebody that they respect, they love, and they can depend on. I just, again, from a purely basketball playoff standpoint, he still has never gotten it done. So,
all right, so continuing on this conversation, you've got Donovan Mitchell, Shador Sanders, Jose Ramirez. Who is the current face without Myles Garrett in Cleveland anymore? Who is the current face of Cleveland sports? One of those three, or do you have another you'd like to offer?
I mean, it's Tyvis Powell, but I mean, if we're talking about the athletes, then, you know, then that is Jose Ramirez. This is Jose's town, easily, and it's not even close. The other two, you know, they haven't really, you know, done that. Jose been doing this since they was in diapers, so yeah, we good.
Can we hang up the phone? Jose. He said, Tyvis Powell is the face?
Oh, yeah. You just mentioned my name, and you could just take your wallet and throw it into Lake Erie. You don't need no money if you with me. You know what I'm saying? You just name drop, you know Tyvis, they going to give it to you for free.
They going
to
be who? Who?
What are you talking about?
Tyvis, did you guys talk this morning about Bryce Underwood's comments about being the best player from the state of Michigan? Did you guys tap into that at all?
Yeah, he's not. The guy, you know what? I respect it as a player standpoint, because that's how you got to be. You need to have that type of confidence. But I'm going to tell you right now, and he know it, I know it, and everybody in the world know it. If he put up any performance of what he did last season, he won't even be a Wolverine. He might not even make it as the starter at the end of this season. By the time they play the Buckeyes, it might be, I think his name is Tom, is the backup. It might be him.
Tommy Carr is the backup. That's Lloyd Carr's grandson as well. So I think there might be a little bit of a push for some of the people over there in that camp. Tyvis, you still got a little more time, or you got to run? What are we doing here?
Hey, come on, man. I'm here now.
Okay.
I'm going to get all my time. Y'all not going to shortchange me.
Okay, you know, so I wanted to ask you.
I'm going to make y'all late for the next segment.
Which is fine. We'll deal with fish when we get done with the segment. Where did this self-proclaimed people's champ come from? You just named yourself the people's champ one day.
No, Josh, see, what happened is this, you know. In my mind, when I do things, it comes from a place of love. You know, I'm very selfless. Mm. Back when I played, I was selfish.
Yes, you were.
Now I'm selfless. So what I do is I always try to do things, and I always think about the people. That's why I never take a day off work, because people tune in to T-Bone and Tyvis, which you can catch on The Fan every morning, 6 to 9 during the week. You know, it's a very fun show with food, football, and fun. If you want a good laugh on your way to work, just tune in to T-Bone and Tyvis, 6 to 9 daily. Anyways, I'm there every single day because my name is on it, and people tune in to hear what I'm going to have to say. If I selfishly just take off, people going to be a little upset. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm always thinking about the people. That's why I look at myself as the people's champ.
I don't know if they were that upset when you went on paternity leave, though. I've looked at the YouTube chat. We got good reviews.
Josh, I was so committed. I gave play-by-plays on the birth of my son,
which was insane. We appreciated it, but that was crazy.
Baby Tupac.
Would you say Trace the Thug Pal?
Hey, T, before we let you go, we've talked to you a couple times since the 40 that you ran a couple weeks ago. What is your report card on the 40 that you ran? How would you grade yourself?
I mean,
what was the time, first of all? What was the official time?
4:05.
Generous.
The thing about it is this, okay? I got this quote, right? This is for the kids out there that's listening right now, that's driving somewhere with their parents. Parents, if you listening, this is the quote that you tell your kids, because I live by this. You shoot for the moon, because if you miss, you'll land amongst the stars. That's what we did with the 40. I shot for 4.4. But a 4.85 at 32 years old at 260, I take that to the bank, baby.
You're not 260 right now.
Oh, yes, he is.
250. You're right. 259.
Oh, my goodness. T, as always, man, we appreciate you. What's coming up tomorrow on the show? Anything you want to sell for tomorrow?
I don't know. I'll be there. I'm supposed to be doing this lemonade chugging thing. I don't know when that's happening. It's not going to happen on the show, I don't think, because T-Bone thinks I'm going to throw up. So
is this based off of the like the thing that they do before the hot dog contest?
Yeah, whoever that dude is, he think he can beat me.
Did you see the guy throwing up?
I'm about to knock this gallon back in 19 seconds.
Did you see the guy throwing up who was like, you know, in the competition, didn't win it?
You know what he is? Novice. He's a novice.
All right, T, we love you, man. Get out of here. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, y'all too. Go Browns, go Bucks, go Jackets, go Cavs. Shout out LeBron, come home. Go Guards. Free Class A, take Ortiz, baby.
There he is, the self-proclaimed people's champ. Time is pounding again. Make sure you lock in with T and T-Bone every morning right here on The Fan from 6 to 9. Coming up next, NCAA president Charlie Baker. He's given his take on the NIL landscape and how it's affecting our national champions in football. We'll tap into that after the break with Rothman and Ice right here.
For the old days when football used to have an off-season, well, we at The Fan think that really sucked. That's why we bring you Austin and Berm, America's number one resource for Buckeye football conversation, is voted by Fake Surveys Incorporated. Catch their daily podcast called The Beat and their breaking news podcast, Snap Judgments, as they broadcast live from Roosters on Mondays, and they come right to your house and massage your tender areas. They'll do it all. Austin and Berm on The Fan's YouTube channel and 10TV Plus. All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gouty gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Maddie's favorite show is Big Brother. Don't read into it. He's only watching strangers through hidden cameras. You're listening to Rothman and Creepy Stalker Guy.
JP, if Charlie Baker was walking out of Kroger and walked past 10 just, you know, average sports fans, we'll call it. Do you think those average sports fans would know who he is and what he does?
I wouldn't. So I would say no.
I agree. He could walk past me right now and I wouldn't be like, oh, that's the president of the NCAA.
Yeah.
That's a sad thing, right?
I think so, but that's the state of the NCAA.
Correct.
As of today.
No doubt. So Charlie Baker, and I know Rhyme Time's got some sound for us from the president of the NCAA, and this is his take, Rhymer, on how he thinks the NIL landscape of the sport is impacting our champion, correct?
Yeah, it's about like how the teams with the biggest pockets, mm-hmm. the deepest pockets, are more likely to have a shot at winning the championship.
All right, go ahead, spin that track.
Well, I think football is a little different than some of the other sports. I think in football, given the scale of what it takes to create a competitive program, which was true even before the NIL era, that's probably a reasonable assumption. I think in most other sports, there's still plenty of room for competition. I mean, if you look at baseball, for example, Troy in Alabama made it to the College World Series. If you look at ice hockey, Denver won the national championship. There are plenty of sports where there's still a lot of competition. What's particularly interesting, I think, on the women's side is the scale and significance of how much success the major programs and the power conference schools have had in growing and winning in women's sports. The investments that they've made there have made an enormous difference in their ability to outcompete just about everybody.
Are you at a point? There's a lot of word salad there for me. I don't know about you hearing that. That was just a lot of word salad. But are you at a point now where you're watching college football and you're feeling like, how do I want to phrase this? Championships are being bought to a certain degree right now in the sport. But do you feel like there is a tier that is reserved for certain programs and certain programs only that isn't going to change anytime soon?
I mean, I feel like it's always been the case that you purchase your championship to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Not, maybe not always, but certainly in the modern era, there's been a lot of that. And I do think that there generally are tiers that are reserved. I mean, you go back to days when I was playing, the days a little bit before that, who were the teams that were winning the most? It was typically teams that were willing to invest or highly capitalized. It was, you know, some of them were paying players under the table. We don't have to talk about that. But, you know, it was the facilities wars where, like, if you could raise money for facilities, right, you could do it. It was all those different things, but it revolved around money still, right? Like, poor schools weren't the teams that were making it to the end contending for championships.
Yeah.
I think the argument is a little bit out of place considering the team that just won it in college football. Indiana, in no other era, is winning a college football title. They're not. But because they were able to find elite alignment and they found who I believe is the greatest college football coach ever, but they also have some boosters that are willing to throw the money exactly where they need it, they can level up in this era. They can go out and flip the roster, which is a different thing too. They can flip the roster and go get it. So I always think it's going to come down to, like, do you have the money to compete? That's important. Yeah. I also think it's been important for 50 years now to have money to be more competitive than other teams.
And to your point about Cignetti, and certain coaches as well have done this, entered into a new facility, entered into a new program, and found success right away. I think that's the key, too, is that first lap or two around the track as a head coach, showcasing to the people that are willing to spend money that this is legit.
Right.
And I think Kurt Cignetti did a good job of cashing in right away to make those people that probably didn't care or believe at all in Indiana football that, oh, wait a minute, we have something here. And so I agree with everything that you said, is that the sport has always kind of been rooted in this. Like, a lot of times it was about, oh, this program has a slide. They got a waterfall. They got a barbershop. Like, those things,
by the way,
matter.
It was, oh, this program can spend X amount of dollars on recruiting, right?
Correct.
Like, they just have a bigger recruiting budget. They can send their they can send their coaches out on private jets and they can get helicopters to show off as they drop into these different schools.
Yeah.
There were a lot of schools that are like, we can't spend money like that. That doesn't even make sense for us.
And the other side of that too is you can have all the money in the world, but you have to have a good eye for talent. And you better be able to develop said talent too when they get into your building.
Sure.
Right? Because you can spend all the money on this player to come out of high school or from this program via the portal, and then he becomes a Buckeye or a Gamecock or whatever it is. And then you're like, wait a minute, this guy, he didn't turn into much. I think there are some really good head coaches around the sport that are doing both. Recruiting the old-fashioned way, getting guys via the portal, but also developing those guys into dudes once you get your hands on them. That way you can get the return on investment.
It's always what it's been, right? Like, Nick Saban was a hell of a recruiter. He was also a great developer. Urban Meyer was the same thing. He could develop. Kirby, recruiter, developer. You had guys like Kirk Ferentz is a great example of it. Guy's a hell of a developer. They don't recruit at the level to win a title.
Right.
But they can develop. So I think it needs to, and some of the other guys who are just really good recruiters on paper, but the guys didn't turn out. Like, that's a different story.
Like,
but
a Coach O. Is that fair to label him as that?
Yes, I don't think he can coach.
Hell of a recruiter, though.
I don't think he can coach worth a damn.
And I think he's in a great role for him.
Oh, for sure.
Great role for that program. Because it takes away everything that you just touched on. Yeah, he can have some football responsibilities, maybe as a defensive analyst or whatever the title may be. But this is about using Coach O pretty much as a mascot for Lane Kiffin.
That's exactly what it is. And he became a personality.
Correct.
Bigger than being a coach.
Right.
And now he's got credibility everywhere he goes.
Yeah, I think that was a really smart hire by Lane Kiffin down there in Baton Rouge. Coming up top of the hour, after an update, Shador Sanders has highlighted what his goals are right now going into the 2026 season. We will talk about that next in our deep dive. Rothman and Ice right here
by NHTSA.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. In what could be his last tango at the World Cup, Lionel Messi isn't ready for it to end just yet. Argentina trailed Egypt 2-0 before Christian Romero scored in the 79th minute. Messi equalized in the 84th minute, and Enzo Fernandez's header goal in the second minute of stoppage time has given Argentina their first lead of the day with 3 minutes left in stoppage time. Winner to face the victor of Switzerland and Colombia in the quarterfinal. They kick off at 4. NBA 7-time All-Star Donovan Mitchell has agreed to a 4-year max extension with the Cavaliers, including a player option for the 2030 season and a full trade kicker. NHL next season's schedule will release July 16th at 1 p.m. It'll be the first 84-game schedule since the 1993-94 campaign. And in baseball, Reds host the Phillies tonight at 7:10, while the Guardians visit the Twins at 7:40. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
Hour number three of the program. Joshua Perry in the house today. You heard Tyler Danberg in his update mention what's happening down there in hot Atlanta, JP. It's getting crazy. Crazy. Messi and Argentina trying to hold on. Egypt trying to salvage the I can't believe they blew the lead that they had. I'm not even the biggest soccer guy, but just watching how they just fell apart late was absolutely insanity. But Messi, a guy that's one of the GOATs in this tournament, has been, from what I've seen, playing at a high, high level. So Argentina trying to hold on. But Messi just... the whole, you know, as the Gen Z, the aura thing that the kids talk about now.
Oh, God.
Messi's got it, man. Like, he's still, because Ronaldo, Neymar, those guys are holding on. Neymar, those guys are gone. But, like, Messi, what he's doing here, what he's been doing since he arrived here in the state down in Miami, still star, super duper star, man.
I'm just glad they're having fun.
I know this does nothing for you.
You look so enthused as if he was breaking that down.
This does nothing for him. It's soccer. I understand.
They're having fun.
But if it wasn't for Messi, I would be like, oh, okay. I don't know if this would be soaking up that much of my attention. But the way that they crawl back into this game is absolutely nuts. But yeah, he's doing his thing.
They scored 3 goals in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, crazy. Absolute insanity. You ever play soccer growing up? What did you play outside of football? No, Jimmy, like, what did you play?
Like I ever played
soccer. I just didn't know. Like, hey, maybe when I was 8, I played soccer.
Oh,
I don't know.
Man. No, I played T-ball.
Okay.
It was not for me, so I moved beyond that.
Yeah.
I was a hooper.
Okay.
All the way through high school, I hooped. Shout out to Rhyme Time.
Absolutely.
Rhyme Time's a collegiate athlete.
I know.
Athlete. He's a collegiate hooper.
He was a hooper.
Cole would not agree with that.
Well, me and Cole have had the discussion. Cole said, I got him to the conclusion that you can be a collegiate athlete as long as you don't try to claim the experience of a D1 athlete.
Which, no, I know that.
And I'm fine with that. I think that's perfectly fine. And then I was actually an all-state track and field athlete, long jumper.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I have heard that.
Boy, I had the bounce.
Okay.
Yeah, back in the day.
You dunk it on people?
I can still dunk it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two-foot jumper, one-foot jumper? Doesn't matter.
2 foot. From right
okay.
there.
Okay.
Yam it.
I'm with
I
you.
I might need to see this.
I got monies.
I believe it.
I believe it. I believe it too.
I believe it. I was never, you know, tall enough or quite athletic enough to dunk a basketball. I could do the tennis ball thing, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, that's fine.
It doesn't count though. You know?
But when you do the tennis ball, you got to put a little sauce on it though.
I don't even think you can really flex for dunking a tennis ball.
Yeah, but if you make it look cool. Like if you kind of windmill it around,
that's when I don't execute the dunk. I get my wrist barely up there and just get that tennis ball.
Just drop it in.
Yeah, get it barely in there. So yeah, if you're into that thing, this Argentina Egypt match, because people have been correcting me on that. I'm sorry, I got it.
It's on the pitch.
On the pitch.
On the pitch. My bad. I'm trying to do my part. It's getting interesting down there in Atlanta.
See, I don't like the trying to do the part thing.
Correcting. Oh, people correcting me or me trying to...
You trying to talk like this is your sport. I'm not going to pretend I don't think you should have to pretend. Like, if you just slip up and say game, like, people know it's a match. It's okay.
With that, but some dude emailed me, if you're going to talk about it, say it right. I'm just like, all right, whatever.
You know it's
dude.
A pitch.
Like,
if somebody right. says field, it's okay.
My bad, man. My bad. I'm like, not a soccer guy. Easy.
Come on. People want to use terminology.
Thank you for having my back.
Of course.
Thank you for having my back. But I'm with Reimer. I also backed him on his status of being a collegiate athlete. I'm stamping that.
Cole is a hater. Like,
he might be the biggest hater at the station.
He is, and I love hating.
Like, there's no might. I think he is.
He is.
So he's Silky Johnson. He's the player hater from the Dave Chappelle show. He really is.
He's going Silky after Johnson. A kid umpire on Twitter.
Was he really?
Yes.
Oh, God.
A tweet that went viral for him.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Oh, it was the kid.
The kid umpire.
I don't know if you saw that. So there was a kid dressed up as an umpire at a
Cardinals
game or whatever.
Yes.
And he kept running down close into like section 100 right. or even right behind home plate.
Right.
Doing the strikeouts.
Trying
stuff,
to get
doing all
attention.
The antics.
And he was doing it for the full game.
See.
And Cole.
I have the tweet right here.
What was the tweet? He had that pulled up quick.
No. It's got 13 million views.
Wow.
It was easy because it's his pinned tweet.
Okay.
99,000 likes on it, too. This kid is a nuisance to everyone in his section, and everybody knows it. His parents are oblivious.
All right. So if he was doing it the whole game, I think I'm with Cole.
Okay.
Sit your ass down. Nobody told you to be up the whole game trying to get attention.
But an inning or two, you can rock. You're good with that.
I think kids can be kids for a little bit. At a certain point, you have to save the kid from being a kid. Right? So that's where I'm with the mom and dad part. Grab him. Hey, son, it was good. Yeah, people loved it.
Sit down now.
We got to watch this game.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or we're going to go home.
Uh-huh.
We're going to gas up the car, and we're going to go home and watch the end of this on TV.
Okay, I think that's fair. It wasn't. My stance initially was, I'm not a parent. It's not my place to talk about parenting at all.
I have takes on that, too.
Okay.
I think everybody, if your takes on parenting are like, oh, my kid's not going to be a picky eater, you're dumb. That's a dumb take because you don't get to control that. Their palate just does what it does, and it evolves over time. So that's a bad parenting take. But I think if you have been around kids and you know what unruly kids look like, it's okay to be like, maybe the parents should insert themselves in that situation. I don't think that's like commenting on parenting. I think that's just like society.
I think that's fair. I like to respect all the parents out there. And since I'm not one, I feel like I have to sit out those conversations. But then the situation that Cole was talking about was like, it gets to a point where it's like, all right, little guy, grab the cotton candy and sit down.
So my mom worked at an elementary school as an aide for 22 years in the lunchroom and on the playground. And she has no problem telling strange kids what to do because it's what she did for 22 years.
Right.
So if she was at that game and he was down in her section, there would have come a point where she would have tapped him and kindly said, I need you to sit down.
Not can you.
Yeah, no, not can you. I need you to sit down. Yep. And I don't think that's a problem. It takes a village, you know?
I agree. Well, I don't know because I'm not a parent, but I understand.
You have been a kid.
I have been a kid.
And you have been parenting.
And I was a bad kid, too.
Okay. Well, I had a little.
But guess what I wouldn't have been doing?
To me.
I wouldn't have been doing that because my mama would have grabbed me by the ear and dragged me back to my seat.
Yes.
That's what my mama would have done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in the car. We wouldn't even wait until we got home. I would have got in the car.
Terrified. That car ride home.
I would have been on the car ride home thinking about the whooping I got when we got to the parking lot.
And there's probably another whooping waiting for me when I get home.
You just got to, you know, whether it was or not, that's what you're thinking.
You just
know
it's coming.
Yeah.
You just know it's coming. So, yeah, I get it. The kid was trying to have a good time. But come on, man.
Cole is the ultimate hater, though, because he didn't need to tweet that.
No.
He was right, but he didn't have to do that.
And it's so weird because Cole's one of those people that he said on the show many of times since he took over for CB that he doesn't like conflict, but he goes about his life in a way that you would think it's the complete opposite.
He's an adversarial guy.
It's odd to me that the math doesn't math. He likes an argument, but he doesn't like conflict.
That is interesting.
It's like my friend that claims he doesn't like cheese, but will eat a whole pizza.
This is Tyvus.
So he'll go out, watch games or whatever. the dude will order a hamburger, and he can't handle a slice of cheese.
Right.
But I'll watch him eat an entire medium pizza in one sitting.
This is Tyvis who says that he doesn't like bread or whatever the case is. That man eats bread. Like, let's be clear. Some people are walking contradictions.
Okay.
You know, like, they say things or they do things that are at odds with their life in general.
Mm-hmm. That's tough.
TLC got a little bit of that, too.
He does. We love TLC.
I do.
But he likes conflict. He can't keep saying, I don't like conflict. You clearly enjoy
static. He's an agent of chaos.
He is. I think the thing that he likes to do to that point of being an agent of chaos, I think his preference would be to stir the pot and disappear.
Oh, yes.
That's why the tweet works for him. Because he can stir the pot and then mute the tweet.
Yeah. Don't have to reply to anybody.
Nope. Not if you don't want to.
Argue amongst yourselves.
That's it.
Because I have to imagine there were people under that tweet in the comment section arguing non-parents and parents.
Oh, yeah.
Have to imagine that was the case.
Oh, yeah.
In there.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. There we go. We missed TLC. TLC will be back tomorrow.
I believe so.
He will be back tomorrow so he can dig in and give us his take on this again. Rhyme time. It's time to give away a prize. Can we do it now?
Yeah, it's fine.
What we got for him, Rhyme Time? Good guys? 28th.
Yeah.
National Racing Summit here. Let me get the read correct for you guys because we're doing it right now. 614-821-9710 is his phone number. Winner receives a family 4-pack of tickets to the Good Guys 28th Summit Racing Nationals, July 10th through the 12th at the Ohio Expo Center. What was your basketball number, Joshua Perry, in high school?
We're 40.
Okay. We don't have 40 lines available. So what we're going to do.
Number four.
We're going to go. Caller number four is going to get the Good Guys.
You thought I was a single digit.
28 Summit Racing Nationals family 4-pack. He will open up the lines right now. 614-821-9710 is our hotline number. Fourth caller, you're going to get that family 4-pack. When we come back, we will lock in on Shador Sanders and his goals moving forward as a Cleveland Brown and pre-snap reads. We're Rothman and Ice right here. Come.
Bobby Carpenter was voted Best Talk Radio Personality by Columbus Monthly Readers. Catch Bobby daily on Morning Chew, 6 to 8 a.m. on the Fan's YouTube channel, the Fan app, and on demand on the 10 TV streaming app. Oh, and Tito's there, too. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have a partly cloudy sky ahead for the rest of the day. There's a slight chance of a stray shower or storm, but most of us ought to stay dry with highs in the mid-80s. Overnight, partly cloudy skies, patches of fog once again with lows in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, partial sunshine, a little warmer, upper 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
If you've recently seen a photo of an older Baker Mayfield fresh off a bender, it's just Bo Bishop. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, before we get into some Browns talk here in a second, Rhyme Time. Who is our winner?
That would be Roger.
Say it again for me.
Roger.
Roger.
Shout out to him.
Shout out to you, Roger.
Go
have
home,
fun.
Roger.
Good Guys 28th Summit Racing Nationals. We appreciate you listening, Roger. Have a good time.
I don't think Reimer got the reference.
I don't think he got that either. Did you get that reference, Rhyme Time?
No, I didn't.
Fill him in.
Sister, Sister.
Have you ever heard of that show?
No.
The great sitcom, TN Tamara Mowry.
Yeah.
Was it Marquez Houston was Roger?
Yeah. Marcus Houston was in that as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a little cast.
It's interesting that he's never even heard of Sisters. Have you heard of the show Martin?
Nope.
Martin's overrated in my humble opinion.
What years are these from?
This is 90s.
Yeah. Mid-90s.
I wasn't alive.
Okay. I mean, do you know of things from before you were alive?
Right. I mean, yes, okay, but not then. A whole lot.
I would never expect him to know who the show. Do you know who Martin Lawrence is?
No.
Okay.
That's a little bit of an issue. Have you seen Bad Boys?
No.
Oh, my goodness. All right. We got to educate.
All right. Please tell me you know who Will Smith is.
Yes, I know Will Smith. Right.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better.
Did you see the episode of Sister Sisters when they had gone to the University of Michigan where Next was performing in that little. The performances they used to get in these 90s sitcoms where you would have Next, which a lot of people probably don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite R&B groups.
They're actually performing.
Yes. And like, Boyz II Men on The Fresh Prince.
Getting like, to it.
702 did the Cousin Skeeter intro, yeah. And all that had TLC. What has happened in society where we don't have this anymore?
I don't know. The bar has been lowered. The bar has been lowered. I have FOMO already, real quick, and I promise we'll get to some Brown stuff here in a second. But I've got FOMO already because tonight, I believe, up in Cleveland is Usher and Chris Brown. That concert is going to be a movie.
Had some conversations because
I know what conversations you guys probably had.
The wives wanted to go.
They're not there?
No.
Okay, I got a lot of my friends that are like, I don't want my girlfriend going to that
There's
show.
There's no
or
shot.
Or my wife going to that show.
No shot.
But they're gonna perform. That is going to be an all-timer
have
with those two.
Have you seen some of the videos?
It's
Chris Brown in particular.
It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful.
And I'm like, you want to be in the house while that's going on? Lewd and lascivious acts being performed on stage?
My friends, girlfriends, and wives, they want to be there tonight.
Oh,
they want to be a part of it. Staying in Cleveland, Shador Sanders on his YouTube channel threw out this quote, fellas. I'm not content with just being on a team. I'm trying to be one of the greatest. You got to be thankful, but know there's still more. There's still more out there. But that's his motivation right now. And in the same way we reacted earlier to Bryce Underwood saying that, hey, I think I'm the best, you know, high school recruit to come out of Michigan or whatever it was. I'm not going to knock Shador for thinking this.
No.
Go ahead.
And no, I mean, I feel like this sounded a little bit more humble in the idea of him talking about being grateful for the opportunity and all the different things. This is, I feel like when it's not your quarterback, you're like, oh, this guy is arrogant and I hope that he gets beat, you know.
Humble.
On the field. I hope that the offensive tackle just plays the Olay game, right? But if this is your quarterback, this is what you want to hear.
100%, man.
Like you want a guy who says, I'm not just going to be okay
being hungry.
One of the guys.
Yes.
I don't want to have a regular career that people forget about.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be great at this
you
thing.
You have to have these type of dreams, in my opinion.
I think
you
it's
have
okay.
to. It's okay. And so he's always going to be a polarizing guy. I'm very excited to see what he can do within this Todd Monken offense. But that, again, in the next couple of weeks, JP, a lot of the eyeballs around the football world are going to be on that quarterback race because that's where I think we're at right now. I don't think in the mind of Todd Monken, there is a no doubt guy in his mind right here on, what is it, July 7th? That is his dude. I don't think that's the case, nor I don't think they need to be there yet.
No, they shouldn't.
I don't think they need to be there, but it is going to be interesting to see how, again, the reps are split up for this quarterback situation in Cleveland. I think, though, that this is easier to manage this year than it was for Kevin Stefanski a year ago, just because there aren't a whole bunch of arms involved with this thing.
A lot of arms season. Last year.
Last year was crazy.
Insane.
And really. So no surprise to see the Browns come out of that situation again with a bit of a lackluster-ish offense. This year, though, they get a guy under center that's competent. I think they got a chance to make some noise. The big if for me, though, JP, is obviously the offensive line and their additions. And what is Quinshon Judkins going to look like coming back from the injury?
I hope he looks good because he was certainly impactful while he was healthy and available. I have this question for you, though, in terms of the quarterback competition there. Is what do you think it's going to come down to if it ends up being close? Like, will the idea that Deshaun is a veteran who had played in that league be a deciding factor? Is it maybe that Monken wanted Shador as a backup quarterback when he was with the Ravens and like kind of fancied the guy, and he's been around all offseason and was involved in the offseason program? I'm curious to see what, if the race is close, what is the deciding factor?
So to me, I think it will be some of those savvy veteran things that Deshaun has figured out that maybe Shador at the moment doesn't. And those are some of the things that I may not be able to see just as a casual fan watching these guys. Things that are happening behind the scenes in the film room, yada, 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 all those things. I said out of the gate, JP, when Monken took over and we started talking about the possibilities at quarterback, that he would lean in towards the veteran out of the gate to be more of a tone setter, if you will, for the team. So I think that's what it's going to come down to, because as far as their skill sets go, both Shador and Deshaun, neither one of these guys present something that is, hey, this guy's going to scare the crap out of you with his legs. Like, right. Neither one of those guys is doing that. So it's obviously going to be what happens with their right arm and the stuff from the neck up. And my gut is telling me right now that Deshaun would have more of those things figured out at the moment, more so than a year two quarterback.
I tend to agree with that. But also, it did feel like at times Deshaun had a little bit of a mental block going on. Mm-hmm. Like, the game was moving a little bit fast for him at times. And so, hopefully, for the Browns' sake, he's past all of that, and he feels like he's able to go out there and just freely compete as himself. But that it'll be an interesting thing to watch if the competition ends up being close.
You talk about the mental block, and I think that's a really good point to bring up because, man, this guy, the same Achilles, he popped it twice. Have you ever seen that from a guy in football? Like the same Achilles that gets popped, not years down the road.
No, I'm not exactly sure I have.
Yeah, I think that's a first. Like, we're not talking, 5 years ago, this guy popped the same Achilles or whatever. Like, this is the same thing within the 3 to 4 month span or whatever it was. So, I where is he at with that and trusting his body to go out there and do the thing? Now,
man, if you feel like your body's betraying you,
it's tough.
Ooh-wee, it's hard to play that game.
Because he can't fall back mentally on what I was early on in Cleveland either.
No, he got to go way back.
Way back. So I think when we circle back around this time next year, there's going to be a new addition to that quarterback room from a guy from the collegiate ranks. I think that's where we're at. I think the hope should be KC Concepcion, Denzel Boston. And I'll even
add. Where are we at on KC?
The drop stuff scares me. It does. But I love Strong. I like the idea. I like the idea of the role he can play early on.
I agree.
How I think Todd Monken can move him around the offense. A little bit of the Xavier Worthy
sure.
in year one in Kansas City vibes. I'm seeing some of that. But the guy I've been thinking about is Isaiah Bond
mm-hmm.
and where he's going to be in year two. So Isaiah Bond, KC Concepcion, Denzel Boston. Two of the three have to pop.
Yeah,
this year. If they get that, JP, I think we're going to be having conversations about like young cores around the NFL. The Browns are going to be high up on, I think, a lot of lists.
I don't disagree with we like the young core. We feel like there's a future there. Can't wait to see how they develop.
Mm-hmm.
Does that translate into more than 6 wins?
With the way the quarterback situation is shaping up right now, I'm not seeing it, and I don't think that's the worst thing for this team. I actually think the dream for the Browns is you roll both these guys out there, Shador, Deshaun. They look okay, but the team isn't racking up a whole bunch of wins. But baked inside of a mid-to-bad record again is these guys, these year two players and the year one players showing promise.
Mm.
If that happens, then obviously you're on your way.
You go get a quarterback.
Then you're on to something. But that's the hardest part.
It is.
That is the hardest part in all this because really good quarterbacks don't become available via free agency. That is just very, very rare. We got close to that with Dak a few years ago, and I believe that morning when ironically they were playing the Browns, they figured out a new deal. So it's going to have to come via the draft. But I think Andrew Berry is on to something with his drafting over the last couple of years.
I agree with that. But I am looking at this draft class like the last one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is a lot of sizzle and not that much steak at this point.
Okay.
I feel like they're hyping these dudes, and we get into it every year.
Yeah, I feel, it's funny, I actually feel rock solid about one at the moment. And I'll tell you who that is in 2 minutes. And I want to know where you're at with this crop of quarterbacks and the confidence that you have on July 7th and stamping the 27 classes guys that, or a group of guys that we can get to maybe 4 or 5 deep. We'll talk about that next with Rothman and Ice right here on Benefits.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
So, JP, during the break, and Joshua Perry in the house if you're just now joining us, I went back and I pulled up a 2025/26 way too early mock draft. This was released in August. It looks like of last year. And in this includes Lenore Sellers, Cade Klubnik, Arch Manning. And that's just one. How's it going? And we feel decent about one of them?
Decent?
Is that too strong for you?
I'm in wait and see.
Okay, that's right.
I don't even know if I have feelings yet.
Okay. So, turning the page to this crop of quarterbacks, going into the break, I was saying I only feel good about one, and that's Dante Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is, it's up in the air. I still can't believe he ran it back. I guess it's, hey, he feels like he needs to get better. Part of it, I think it is, it was also the Jets.
I agree with that.
Do I want to start there? So I'll take him at his word for what he said out of the gate, that, hey, he just didn't think he was ready. Also, we know it helps, too, that you can make a handful of $1 million, I'm assuming, out there in Eugene with Uncle Phil throwing out the money he's throwing around. And so he's the guy that I truly believe in right now. Or is that where your list is right now? You're cutting it off after one.
Yes.
Correct. And so let's hear from Todd McShay, because Todd McShay on his show, I believe he's on Netflix now, which, by the way, Netflix cooking up a lot of those different sports podcasts over there. If you haven't been paying attention, like Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo, a lot of that stuff is over there. Now,
they got Rich Paul and
Max Kellerman on that as well. I think that's maybe under the Ringer, under that umbrella, I think. But Netflix is expanding their wings.
By the way, McShay show's good.
It's good stuff, man. Yeah. He's dialed in. So here's about a minute and some change about Todd McShay breaking down his top six quarterbacks for the 27 class.
Dante's the highest graded of the six we've done so far. Just the best pure passer, NFL ready, and should only rinse, refine, repeat this year. After that, Lenore Sellers, and that's a name that I want to get out there. South Carolina quarterback is so gifted and can still develop as a passer. Didn't have the supporting cast that Arch had at Texas or Julian had at Ohio State or any of these other guys last year. They brought in Kendall Briles, the new offensive coordinator. Hopefully he takes the next step this year. I think he could legitimately push to be the number one overall quarterback, but right now we've got him at number two. CJ Carr is underrated as well. This is a guy that, you know, his grandfather is Lloyd Carr, been around ball his whole life. You can see it in just the way he processes, and I think he's going to take another step. You lose two first-round running backs. Now the onus is on him. Arch, interestingly enough, at number four. Very similar grade to Carr just above him, but I think we know where he can improve as a passer. We also know how 6'3", 230, such a gifted runner. I think it's almost underrated how, like, when I watched his tape and just went back, like, the acceleration and the speed when something's not there, he's different in that regard. And then we've got Julian Sain at number five and Sorsby at number six, but these are all guys who legitimately could potentially be a first round draft picks. They all have the ability to be.
What's a reaction to what you did? Just jumping out to you from that clip we just heard from McShay.
The Lenora Sellers thing
scaring me.
It kills me.
When the first thing that you're selling us on out of the gate is kind of the trait stuff, that to me is alarming. I would much rather hear what he said about CJ Carr.
Yeah.
Good processor.
I agree.
Working his way through his progressions and seeing what the defense is doing. When I hear Lenora Sellers, you know what I heard? Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, so Lenora Sellers is a supreme athlete, no doubt about it. And he's a very mature guy, too. Like, if you have ever listened to him speak about the game and speak about being a quarterback and being a teammate, like, the maturity's all there. I don't have any concerns with that. 60% completion, to me right now, used to be the benchmark. I think it's probably closer to 65. I feel like teams have found more ways to get efficient throws to their quarterbacks.
More layups for the quarterbacks. Yeah. You're seeing some of that on film.
Yep. So he's below that. Okay. And then it was 13 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and he took 42 sacks. Ooh. So for me, you mentioned the processing. Like, I think the game needs to speed up for him. Yeah. I think he needs to work on his ball placement. And I think for an athletic guy, like, you can get yourself into trouble running around in circles back there. Like, you got to make a decision. CJ Carr is an interesting one. I spent a lot of time watching him, obviously with NBC and Notre Dame having that relationship.
Yeah.
I love the way that he plays. I think that he is a very good processor. I like his arm. I like his frame, the whole deal. I think he throws the football to the other team in the big games. And that's kind of my thing with him, is you don't see it because Notre Dame's schedule's soft on here to your basis.
To your point, and I just pulled this up, you look at all of the ranked matchups from last year, there was an interception in all of those for C.J. Carr. Yep.
Yeah.
Pitt, USC, A&M, Miami.
Pitt's defense had him in a little bit of a blender. Yeah, and that's a chaotic defense. Pat Narduzzi's got guys moving around. He uses some of the hybrid linebackers. You don't know where they're going to be post-snap. That's what he's got to work on.
Mm-hmm. He's in a situation because I think McShay, he brought up something that I'm excited to watch from C.J. Carr, is can he be the aircraft carrier this year, right? Because we always hear one of the best things a quarterback can have, great run game. Obviously, it starts up front. We get that. But what a run game can do for them, and, you know, playing linebacker, the play action stuff, and all that late in games, it can, you know, you can take that bait if they have that rolling. But he has a chance to showcase that, hey, I could uplift everything around me. Kind of remember we were having conversations about Josh Allen, I believe, 2 years ago, where he lost Stephon Diggs, and it was kind of like, man, like on paper, this, you know, looking a little light around him, and then he showed, we're good. I'm Josh Allen. I think C.J. Carr has a chance to showcase that this year on top of what he did with time on task a year ago. Their first game, JP, right out of the gate, is a neutral sider against Wisconsin.
Lambeau.
I don't, looking at their schedule, probably going to be a while till they face
Miami.
I was going to throw in there potentially the trip out to BYU.
Yeah, that'll be a big one.
That game.
Yeah, BYU is usually well-disciplined. They play super hard. They hit you.
But unless Belichick in North Carolina surprises us, that's a road game.
Come on, man.
Quit that. They end the regular season at Syracuse. This should be a comfortable year.
Syracuse.
For Notre Dame. Should be a comfortable year for Notre Dame. And so Sellers, that is complete wait and see mode.
Yeah.
Like I've seen too many of those guys with that type of label going into a season to where it really hasn't panned out, nor are they that consistent.
Yep. That's going to be the thing for him. It's like the consistency question for a guy like that is the game that they played against Texas A&M. It was a tale of two halves.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at that guy, that's the first half is the first round tape for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half is the I can't draft this guy right now tape.
Right.
Right. So he's got to be able to string it together. A couple other guys, Brendan Sorsby, who obviously going through his little trouble right now. Yeah. The hype around when he got suspended and like, was he going to actually go to the supplemental draft? I think people got over their skis.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good size. He moves around pretty well. He's got a big arm. I'm not necessarily sure on the consistency in every level of the field throwing the football with him. And I'll be curious to see how he gets better considering he won't be on a football field.
Yeah, because, man, that's a great question. Jamar Chase sitting out a year when he did it. That's a little different to me than a quarterback doing it, right? Like the wide receiver, you hop on a moving train, you know how to run the routes, you know what the defense, like correct me if I'm wrong, that seems like a simpler thing to do.
There's so much to quarterbacking.
Quarterback, you take a year off,
that's tough.
That's why I think for him what would have been ideal is even if you did, let's say you get drafted, you know, in the supplemental draft and you don't play in year one, at least you're around the environment.
Right, and you're practicing.
Yes, and you're watching
meetings.
Yes, and you're watching a quarterback go about his business in the right way. So he's going to be a wild card. A name that keeps popping up. Where are we at with Drew Mestemaker? This is a name that I think is going to be the wild card for a lot of people in the next few weeks, over the next couple of months, getting ready for the season. If you don't know the name Drew Mestemaker, he transferred into Oklahoma State from North Texas, and he is supposed to be one of these guys, JP, for us to look out for. You got a feel on Drew Mestemaker and what he is as a player right now?
I want to see a little bit more. He's a one-year starter, so the sample size isn't that big. I like his frame. I think he should put on a little bit more weight. He looks a little bit skinny, but he's a taller quarterback, 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
He, to me, was like super high-volume guy. Right. And so like he can handle a bunch of throws. He can handle the different throws. He can do high volume on efficiency as well. He was close to 70% over the season, I believe.
I like that.
Somewhere 68-70%. So there's a lot there.
Yeah.
I think the more people see him, especially on a bigger stage, they're gonna like him a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But you just haven't seen a ton.
You were right. 69% completion percentage for him. Drew Mestemaker last year led the nation and passing yards. Number one in the country, 4,379 of those. What I find interesting, looking at the top five guys in passing yards from last year, three of these guys are back. Four of these of the five are back. The only one that's gone is Carson Beck. Drew Mestemaker, okay. Oklahoma State. Darian Minta from Duke is now at Miami. Trinidad Chambliss is back. Hmm. And then who finished fifth with JD Maiava for USC.
I like Maiava. I like his ball placement especially.
Okay.
And for Trinidad, 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be walking in the league at 24 or 25.
Uh-huh. That's a tough sell. That's a tough sell. Hearing what you said about Maiava, I think is huge. Like, I love hearing people that study the tape like you do talk about processing and ball placement, mm-hmm. right? Because as you know, you get into the league as a quarterback, you got to have that accuracy, man, because these DBs are really, really good, right? And so those windows are going to be a lot smaller. And so that's going to be a fun matchup for Ohio State this year. And Matt Patricia is that defense is going up against Jaden, Lincoln Riley, and that offense. That's what I'm really looking forward to this year for Ohio State.
So I'll give a take on that is if Lincoln decides that they want to be a team that consistently runs the football along with their passing game, but they get into some of those counter schemes like when their offenses were really good at Oklahoma, that to me is a dangerous combo. But he gets in his own head and wants to throw it around too much.
So we're going to get Sark and Patricia going at it in week two. We'll get Dan Lanning in that unit against Ohio State again. We'll get Lincoln Riley. Like, there's going to be some great coaching matchups this year for Ryan Day and his staff. It's going to be a lot of fun to see how they handle it. We'll hit the finish line of the show next. We'll tell the truth. It's Rothman and Ice right here.
44. The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, Rhyme Time, take us to the crib. What do you got cooked up and tell the truth today?
Well, we have the final results of our poll.
That's right.
That
That's
we put right. out. Who is the face of Cleveland sports right now? We have 44 votes on it.
What were the options again? Remind the folk.
That would be Donovan Mitchell, Jose Ramirez, Shador Sanders, or other.
Okay. My guess is, JP, that Shador won this poll. I'm hoping that it's Jose Ramirez, though.
I said Shador, so I'm going to stick with it.
Okay, so we think Shador is the leader in the clubhouse right now for the poll. Are we right?
No. He was last of the four options we put, including other.
Including other.
Yes.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah. The winner was Jose Ramirez.
I like that.
At 59.1%. Then Donovan Mitchell was at 18.2. Other was at 13.6. And then Shador Sanders, 9.1.
Did anybody say other, like what their other was in the comments?
Yes, but I don't know that I want to because it would... It would boost the ego of somebody that was on the show.
Are
earlier.
You kidding me?
Come on, people.
Who said that?
He's the self-proclaimed people's champ.
That would be Snagglepuss.
Of course.
Shout out to Snagglepuss.
Yeah, I know.
He's awesome. Just
but yeah, that off we to the can't side. Get
Tyvus Powell doesn't need any gassing up.
Okay? No, he
doesn't need any gassing up.
No.
Tank's always full.
He is gassed.
Okay, so that makes me feel good. That is J-Ram. J-Ram's been there for a long time, putting in elite work. You know, I brought this up on the show. One thing that I don't think gets acknowledged enough in sports are MVP finishes and where you finish in MVP races. I don't think guys get enough credit for that. I think that we talk about the MVP and where guys get stacked up is just in the wind and gone. I'd like to highlight that. For certain guys, because for Jose Ramirez, he has, JP, like 5 or 6 top 5 AL MVP finishes in his career. And then, you know, you play in a division that has, you know, Shohei and Aaron Judge.
Right.
That's uphill. But that's something I think needs to be talked about more.
It's like the Jordan fans would all love to ignore finals appearances, right? But those matter. So I'm with you.
Yeah, here we go.
I'm with you.
Like, let's talk about, here's a North Carolina guy.
It's
in the
okay.
background.
Jordan didn't have a left, so it's all good. We don't even have to get into it.
He talked to us earlier. I wasn't born when Sister was coming out, but here he comes.
But now he knows everything
Michael
about Jordan.
Jordan my yeah. guy.
Michael yes, Jordan.
Exactly. Blinded. North Carolina blinders
whatever.
There.
Ever.
But I want to talk. I'm going to do that myself.
Because I think there's certain guys that have incredible resumes, and lost is this guy had 3 to 4 top three finishes in MVP resume. That means something to me.
Yeah, it should mean a lot more to a lot of people, to your point. But this goes back to all of my bitching and moaning from throughout the day. We're so desensitized and untethered from everything that all we care about is the flash and the pop and the sizzle.
We're just on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. We're on to the next thing. We poke at every single thing. Like, mm-hmm. It can be the most positive story ever. Like, you know, this guy saw a lady walking across the street, bought her some ice cream, and somebody would comment, he didn't walk fast enough.
Yeah,
it's just like, all right, man.
This guy was an NFL draft expert, was going to overcome a terrible accident that he got into. Let's donate to his GoFundMe. And next thing you know, everybody's digging up his whole past.
Yeah. You're talking about Matt Miller from ESPN.
And can't even let the guy live.
If you don't know that story, it's a scary story, man, to say the least.
Yeah, but he's a scammer, though. Allegedly.
That's the problem now, too.
Allegedly.
Is that, you know, CB, I'm sorry, I was going to call you CB. Rhyme Time and I, CB's a huge Love Island fan. That's why I was thinking about this. That's what happens, too. Like, you go on these type of shows or you become a public figure.
Every week I see such and such has left Love Island because of previous social media posts where they said a slur.
Yep. So
that happened this season.
Going back to your point, when you step into certain roles on national stages like that, you got any skeletons, man, they're probably coming out.
You better be squeaky clean.
And it's tough because like Matt Miller, you see the story and you're like, you have to sympathize with him because like he almost lost limbs. And I don't know if he did or not.
No, they amputated
his arm, his right arm, right? And so he lost his right arm. And then, you know, there's that going on too.
But he's a scammer. Allegedly.
That's tough. What's next, Rhyme Time?
Do you buy any stock in the NBA Summer League?
No.
I think it's good to watch the young guys run around a little bit.
But I'm not going to invest in because Darren Peters is cooking right now. Yes. And I think he's going to be.
I think he is okay to buy the stock.
He's an exception to the rule.
It looks completely different than what everybody else is doing on the floor.
But if you're a year two guy, year three guy playing in the summer league and cooking, get that out of here.
Yeah.
You should be.
Come on, man.
You should
These guys need reps.
But I'm
Come on, man.
No, they
what if they were a top 10 pick in last year's draft?
Yeah.
They need reps.
You need reps, but I can't give you much credit for cooking G-Leaguers. You know?
All right. That's fair.
That's all. But the Summer League, I'll take a glance at some of the top guys, right? The Boozers, the Petersons, the DeBances. I'll watch a few minutes, and I'll be on my way.
Can't believe you didn't mention Caleb Wilson in those three.
I'm sorry, North Carolina.
It's crazy.
I'm sorry.
It's a big four, man.
I'm sorry.
Friday night.
I like his landing spot in Chicago, though.
Friday night, Caleb Wilson versus Cam Boozer.
This man sent us a picture in the Love Island group chat last night. I think he's in bed or on his couch somewhere. Love Island's on the big screen. And I think either on his tablet or laptop or whatever is Summer League basketball.
Two Summer League games.
Two. I'm sorry.
Sicko.
I'm
going to
shortchange you.
Sicko.
We're all sickos about certain things. Rhyme Time is no doubt a sicko about college basketball.
Was watching Darren Peterson versus Cam Boozer, and then Darius Acuff was on the other one.
Did you bet at all in the games?
Not on Summer League.
True.
Yeah.
No.
The fact that you're watching Summer League game with
nothing riding on it?
For the love of the game.
Straight sicko mode.
It's fair. That's fair.
I'm just saying.
That's why we love you.
What I'm seeing from Darren Peterson, Jazz fans should be ecstatic about.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bruce Thornton, he's officially signed with the Rockets, our guy. He's going to play in the Summer League with the Rockets. But do you see him making an immediate impact in Houston this year? I'm thinking if they take a chance that early to draft him the very first pick of the second round, they got to see something out of it.
What do you call an impact? Like, are we talking about...
He's going to come off the bench for sure.
I think he could impact that building.
Okay.
I feel like he's a grit guy. He's a guy that you like having around the locker room. I think he's a young player you don't have to worry about, which is very important when you're bringing guys into the organization. Mm-hmm. So I think his immediate impact would be more of the off the court who he is as he develops as a player.
And the leadership that he brings.
No doubt.
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said. The only fear that I have is the height in the NBA. And can he be trusted consistently on defense when guys are probably going to be singling him out?
I mean, they like Fred, though, right?
They do, and that's what I'm saying. So Ime Udoka sees something. And I think, Runtime, you brought up a good point with the draft capital they spent. I think they're going to have a role for him.
Traded up to take him, too.
He'll impact their team, I believe. In year one, there's Tell the Truth for today. We got to go. JP, appreciate you filling in. Rhyme Time, appreciate you on the board. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. We'll take you to 6 o'clock. We're Rothman and Ice right here.